Yeah, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Tonight we're previewing AEW versus New Japan Pro Wrestling's Forbidden Door. We're going to recap tonight's episode of SmackDown. We're watching AEW Rampage. We've got new participants for the Money in the Bank. We're ready to talk some wrestling. Let's do it. Indeed. We're getting it done. And Big Johnny's here. FUBU Johnny. What up, Johnny?
What's up, Dave? How you been?
Doing all right. How you been?
I'm fine, you know. It's been a good 24. How's the little guy today on his big B-day?
Yes, thank you for asking. My son is 5 years old today. It was his birthday. He's doing quite well. He's, in bed. Late night. He had a long day. Fun day. Got a new scooter. He's been scooting around all over the place. Scooting it up. Looking pretty cool on his new scooter.
Nice.
Yeah, he's good at it already. He's getting pretty good at it. So we had a lot of fun today. Saw the family. Had a nice little party for him. And, it's crazy, right? I mean, for me, I'm sure it's really nuts, but for you, too, like, you remember when he was born, like, 5 years already, right? It's 5 years old.
It's crazy.
You have kids, you know, like, enjoy the time because it goes by real fast. It really does. It goes by so fast. It's crazy. Just yesterday, he was a little baby, and now I've got my two-month-old daughter, and she's so small, and I remember when Zevi was this small, and it feels like not that long ago that he was this small. Now I look at him, he's this gigantic 5-year-old boy, and he's talking and jumping and kicking, and you know? So, yeah, it's a fun day. It's, your kids' birthdays are big for you just as they are for them, you know? Like, for me, this is a big day for me. My son is five. I've raised a boy up until the age of five, you know? And he's pretty good. He's a pretty damn good boy, so I'm pretty happy with myself. I'm proud of myself and the son that I've raised. I mean, his mother definitely has a lot of credit to take for it, too, but tremendous, you know? Tremendous boy. So proud of him. 5 years old. So, yeah, it was good. It was a good birthday for him.
Congrats all around. And I love that you guys continue this tradition. I don't know when you started this, but you always get the balloon for, like, the year. Like, I think you had it for four, and now you have it for five as well.
Yeah, I started it last year. I guess you saw that on my Instagram story or something. I took a picture of him with his big giant five. I like those balloons, you know, the giant five, the giant numbers for the birthday. Just a nice little party thing. He likes it. I did it last year, got him a giant four and a couple other balloons. So he was kind of expecting it this year. So now it's like a thing I have to do. Not cheap, those balloons either. Not cheap to get like a whole bouquet of balloons. It's like, God damn. Charge you for the balloon and the helium. They get you on both ends. And they're like, do you want to weigh these balloons down? I'm like, well, I don't want them to fly away, right? He's like, well, that's $2 per weight. I'm like, all right. Take it easy. But it's worth it, you know? But I like it too, the giant balloons. Chat. That's why I buy them.
Super chat.
Thank you, Harold. Dropping the birthday cake emoji super chat. Appreciate you. We'll talk wrestling here in a minute.
Well, just the good thing about this, now you don't have to worry about, you can repeat it next time when you get your new 5-year-old soon.
Well, I can't.
5 years.
I can't keep the balloon for 5 years, John.
Well, you can always redo it, no?
What do you mean redo it? Like re-helium it?
Like, yeah.
I don't think so. I think once the balloon has lost its helium, it's over. You throw it out and that's it. You don't save a balloon for 5 years. And then get helium and fill it back up. I mean, I don't anyways. Maybe I should.
I mean, you could.
Probably be better for the environment. I know balloons are really bad for us and everything. That's what I've been told. Don't get balloons. They're bad. They just sit in landfills forever. Oh, okay. I won't get them then. Well, he wants a balloon. All right. Well, I'll get a balloon then. That's my life.
Maybe end the tradition here, possibly, you know. Might be a good idea as well.
Maybe, but, you know, when he's six, yeah, he might be mad that there's no balloon, so we'll see.
Oh, I just meant for your daughter. Like, she doesn't need to get this as well.
No balloons. So my son gets awesome birthday parties. My daughter will just get whatever we feel like doing, whatever's left over. Poor kid. Bad enough she's going to be wearing all her brother's clothes, you know, growing up. She'll be all right. Well, not all of them.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
A lot of them. Yeah, she's good. She's doing fantastic right now. She's great. She's amazing, too. Like, you know, 2 months old. It's crazy how far she's come in 2 months. So, a lot of fun.
Well, next week, Worlds Collide. So, that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll all be together. So, it'll be fun.
What's happening next week?
I think you're trying to figure out the ringside.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm so confused. I don't know what you're saying to me right now. What?
We got the Money in the Bank, UFC, watch along, like Worlds Colliding.
Yes. Worlds are colliding. Is this the death of Independent George?
Possibly.
George. What does he say? A George. Something cannot stand. I don't know.
I remember
yes.
The whole Worlds are colliding, Jerry. I remember that.
Yeah, Worlds are colliding. Yeah, he didn't like that. Where Susan started hanging out with the group. Not good. It didn't work out. But, you know, Susan died. So it all worked out in the end for George. yes, Money in the Bank and UFC 276 both happening next Saturday. And you are possibly coming here for that? I don't know what we're doing yet. We're going to do a show. Awesome. The worlds will collide.
Maybe AJ.
Yeah, there's going to be a Maybe UFC Fred. 276 watch along next Saturday. We'll do the UFC 276 watch along, and I think part of the watch along will be a Money in the Bank post show somehow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be like a big Saturday night fiesta of wrestling and UFC. That UFC card is way better than Money in the Bank. I'll preview that UFC 276 card on Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time, as we do each and every Thursday at 8 p.m. for Ringside Report MMA. We previewed the Gamrot-Sarukian fight last night on Ringside Report MMA and gave you our picks. So go check that out if you haven't already. We're here to talk about some professional wrestling, though. We're going to preview AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling's Forbidden Door pay-per-view coming up Sunday in Chicago. We'll also give you a little bit of news about Money in the Bank, some injuries in the WWE, a couple things going on in the WWE. I want to start with AEW, though, before we get to Vince McMahon's company. And yes, it's still Vince McMahon's company. Still Vince's show. I'm watching Rampage right now. I'm watching Andrade El Idolo wrestle Rey Fénix. There was some interference from Jose and Alex Abrahantes. Roosh showed up. And now Andrade just hit his DDT on Rey Fénix to beat him. I didn't catch much of the match.
Well, I think there was a lot of trickery because he went to use the mask, I think, and then referee took away, then it was an eye poke, and there was a lot of back and forth. Then he hit the DDT, I think. So,
oh, Roosh low blowed Rey Fénix too. Roosh showed up ringside and kicked Rey Fénix in his scrotum. Oh no, the Los Ingobernables t-shirt's coming out. La Facción Ingobernable. Whoa, Roosh and Andrade busting out Ingobernable shirts. Is this going to be a new faction in AEW? La Facción Ingobernable? There was, of course, Los Ingobernables, and then Tetsuya Naito and his group, Los Ingobernables de Japón. Wow.
They're not scheduled for the pay-per-view, though. Like,
no, Andrade was supposed to wrestle Will Ospreay on this Forbidden Door show, but because he wrestles for AAA and CMLL and New Japan have a working relationship, there was some sort of issue with Andrade working this Forbidden Door show and he wasn't allowed to do it. Right?
Yeah, so they gave us this match tonight instead. That was a pretty good match.
Mm. Thank you, Antoinette. She's been a member now for a year and a half, 18 months. Thank you, Antoinette. Wow. She says, happy birthday, Zev. Thank you. And sorry, SmackDown was boring. Yeah, SmackDown was pretty boring tonight. You don't have to apologize for that. Thank you for sticking with us for 18 months in a row, Antoinette. Appreciate you. Join.ringsidereport.net if you have not joined up already. If you are not a member, $5 a month, supports the Ringside Report Network. We appreciate you very much. Harold Schneider is a member. Antoinette is a member. And I don't know if you noticed this, but I'm more likely to read comments from members. I'm more likely to...
I've noticed.
Yeah, you've noticed. I mean, you know, they're members. They support the show. You know, I like the people that watch that are non-members. You guys are cool, but the members, you know, I'm more likely to read your comments on the show. People that are non-members, I may see your comments, but I, you know, I may not acknowledge them. I will acknowledge Alex Tarras telling me that the Yankees lost tonight. Yes, they did lose to Houston tonight. That is not a big deal, Alex, because we are winning and winning and winning and winning. Once in a while, a loss doesn't hurt so bad. But I'm not here to talk about the Yankees, even though I could all night because they're the best. We're here to talk about AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling's Forbidden Door pay-per-view. Antoinette, I acknowledge you. You are acknowledged. Acknowledge me! Another night off for Roman Reigns. Probably one of the reasons why SmackDown was a little boring tonight. No Roman. The guy gets a lot of time off. Good for him. Good for Roman. You know? He's taking a bunch of time off here this summer. He was off SmackDown for what felt like 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks. I don't know. He was off for a while, right?
Maybe longer.
Before he wrestled Riddle last week?
It's been, I think... Was he even around after WrestleMania Backlash? Maybe 1 week he was there and that was it?
Maybe. But he was off for a while, came back last week, wrestled Riddle, had a good match with Riddle, beat Riddle, has that thing with Brock Lesnar, confrontation, sets it up for SummerSlam at the end of July, and now goes off and not on the show tonight. Taking a lot of breaks, taking time off, resting his body. He's the world champion. How much do you really need him around? Some people would say all the time. He's a world champion. He should be on every show. But I think when he shows up, it's a big deal. And he's ran such a rough schedule over the past couple of years that taking some time off here this summer is not such a big deal. He has gone through everybody. He has kind of been there, done that. Taking a few weeks off here and there, like SmackDown happened tonight. What would he really have done on SmackDown? What could he have added to SmackDown? He doesn't need to wrestle in a six-man tag against Sheamus and Drew McIntyre and, you know, Ridge Holland tonight. He doesn't need to do that. Let the Usos wrestle Sheamus and Drew on their own. Roman doesn't need to be there. It's unnecessary. And for a guy who's a world champion that you want to preserve long-term, it makes sense to give him time off because he gets to rest, and the more he rests, the more he can work in the future. So I think that works. I think it makes a lot of sense. I know some people are mad that Roman's getting so much time off, but he's worked really hard to get to this point, and you want him to be ready to wrestle Dwayne at WrestleMania. So, you know, rest him as much as you can until then. Because if he gets hurt before WrestleMania, you're done. Everything that you've been building towards, everything that you've set up is ruined if Roman Reigns is not ready to go at WrestleMania. So give him as much time off as he needs. Let him rest any nagging injury that he has. You don't want him to get seriously hurt. You don't want him to tear an ACL, be out a year. If Roman Reigns tears his ACL, it's over. WrestleMania, your whole company, the whole build, this whole company's revolving around Roman Reigns. If he gets hurt, you're done. You know what I mean? Like, what would they do if Roman suffered a serious injury? Like, if Roman tears his Achilles in a match? They're screwed.
Yeah, no question. They kind of need Roman. And it kind of makes it more special. You saw last week the ratings, like, it was the highest it's been in a long time.
Well,
because I mean, yes.
Come
part,
on.
But you got to.
Come
okay,
on,
part
son.
Part of it was for Vinny. Part of it was
yes,
Vinny. But
it was mostly for Vince. Come on. The Vince news broke last week, and they're like, oh, he's going to be on SmackDown. Come on, dude.
Right. Hour one. But hour two, the ratings kept going up, though. So that goes to show you that people were interested to see that main event afterwards. and more people wanted to see Roman Reigns. So it goes to show he's the draw, man. He's what everyone wants to see. He's the main reason to watch WWE. And to me, there's enough in WWE in terms of champions, in terms of stars. They don't need Roman on every pay-per-view or premium live event. Money in the Bank, that should be building up to a new star. So you don't need a big championship match. The Money in the Bank match sells the pay-per-view or premium live event itself.
Yeah. 100%.
And you have two of them, too. So you have enough on that show, in my opinion, without Roman Reigns. Yeah. And it'll make SummerSlam even more of a big deal because that's when you finally get him. And it's a stadium show, too. So, again, like it's just a bigger, grander stage.
I agree 110%, John. We're in complete agreement with the booking of Roman Reigns. I think right now taking time off makes sense. You don't need him at Money in the Bank. You don't need him in every pay-per-view, premium live event, whatever you want to call it. I agree 100%. I want to talk about Money in the Bank and stuff going on in WWE, but this is an AEW New Japan weekend. We should be sticking with what's going on in AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling and the Forbidden Door pay-per-view, which is coming up on Sunday. I intend to do a post-show on Sunday. Who will be with me? Who knows? Johnny North, my brother, maybe nobody, maybe just me. Who knows what's going to happen on Sunday? But I will be here after Forbidden Door to break it all down for you, and I look forward to it. And I believe Johnny will be here as well. Let me run down the card for you, and then we will break it down match by match and give you our predictions. The opening
just
match.
One thing, though?
Yeah.
Apparently, they're going to announce matches like during Rampage right now, so you might have to, you know, change this up afterwards. Because they said more than likely it's going to happen like right near the end, too, I'm sure.
So, should we wait for the preview then before we?
Well, just go over what there is.
I got 10 matches here, John. 10 matches on this card. You're telling me they're going to add more?
Yeah.
Is this going to be one of those marathon AEW pay-per-views again? Come on, dude. I can't take that.
Well, let's face it here. Like, New Japan, don't they usually only have marathon pay-per-views, those ones?
They do tend to have long pay-per-views. Yeah, you're right.
So it just goes well with the tradition, I think.
Man, I don't want such a late night, though, on Sunday. I'm trying to do jiu-jitsu Monday morning. I'll be so tired. So many black belts in that Monday morning class. I'm going to get destroyed. It's going to be rough. If I make it. If I even make it. I don't know. Maybe I'll do the Tuesday class next week. I don't know. Oh, brother.
Well, it's going to be quite the week here. I mean, you start off with this, and then you have the huge double watch-along the following Saturday. What a week.
I'm so beat up already. How the hell am I going to get through this? At least you're not sending
kids to school, so that's good. Not yet.
Well, I am on Monday. I'm taking my boy to school Monday.
Oh, he's got daycare, okay.
Well, yeah, he's got preschool Monday, and, you know, kindergarten's going to start a couple months, and then... Oh, jeez. But it's just everything that's piling up right now. I am just beat to shreds. Most times I'm just like, my body's like beat up. I'm exhausted. You know, like it's hard to maintain. Thank God for caffeine is all I'm saying. I don't know where I would be without caffeine. I'd be asleep is where I would be. All right. Enough about me. Who cares? Let's talk about this Forbidden Door show that'll probably go on forever, and I'll be mad pissed. Honestly, if this thing goes past midnight, I'm not doing a post show. I don't think I can. It's too crazy. Who wants to be up that late on a Sunday? Come on, Tony Khan, be cool. Couldn't they have done this thing on a Saturday? What are they doing? Why are they messing with me here?
So we're off and on about this. There might be a show, there might not be a show. Stay tuned, I guess, guys.
I plan to do a show. Like, I'm planning on doing a show, but, like, goddamn, man, if this thing goes to, like, 1 in the morning, well, I don't know. I might do a show Monday. You know what I mean? I might do, like, a wrap-up on Monday afternoon type of thing. we'll see. Stay tuned. That's why you got to subscribe to the channel, and you got to click the bell when you subscribe so you get the notifications when we're on. But I do intend to come on after Forbidden Door. I mean, worst case scenario, you come on after Forbidden Door, and you see that I'm not there, and you're like, oh, I guess it's too late for Dave. Dave's asleep. Or you come on after Forbidden Door, and you see that I'm there, and then you watch the show, and you have a good time. Either way, tune into the Ringside Report Network after Forbidden Door, and we will most likely be on, even if it's like a 10-hour show. We'll figure it out.
I'm seeing 7 hours. Alex saying 7.
Yeah, whatever. We'll see. Here is the show so far. Max Caster and the Gun Club, the Ass Boys, Billy Austin and Colton Ass, taking on Yuya Uemura. Oh, yeah, he's like one of the young boys in New Japan. Alex Coughlin, the DKC, and Kevin Knight. I don't even know.
This is the buy-in. This isn't the actual pay-per-view, though.
I'd go with the AEW guys winning because I really have no idea who the other guys are.
Wow. If you don't know them, that's pretty bad.
No
they
idea.
Must really be the Young Boys.
Those guys are Young Boys and New Japan Strong guys, which is like the New Japan show that they did in a studio in the States in front of no people that no one cares about. It's not real New Japan. It's like America New Japan, which is all bullshit. You know what I mean? Nobody cares about America New Japan. Japan New Japan is where it's at. If you wrestle for New Japan, but you only wrestle in the States, do you really wrestle for New Japan? Or are you wrestling for some sort of offshoot jabroni federation? John Moxley.
I feel like it was just...
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, it was just felt like it was an excuse. So then they get like guy like Moxley, if they have to do like a title change or they wanted to have a big match, they couldn't get him down. They just have the match there or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's pandemic era stuff, and yeah, it's cool, and they're doing what they can. But to me, it's not real. John Moxley taking on the ace of New Japan, Hiroshi Tanahashi. That's real. That's as real as it gets. It's for the interim AEW World Championship. The winner will be the interim AEW World Champion. Gee, I wonder who'll win that one. Jay White, though, defending his IWGP World Heavyweight Championship in a fatal four-way. I thought they were going to do a tag match, but instead it's a four-way. Jay White, though, defending the title against Kazuchika Okada, the Rainmaker, Hangman Adam Page, and Adam Cole, the baby. A fatal four-way match. Interesting. Another fatal four-way match for the inaugural AEW All-Atlantic Championship. Pac takes on Miro, and Malakai Black and Clark Connors, who replaces the injured Tomohiro Ishii. Sucks. Supposed to be a New Japan representative, and the guy they got is Clark Connors? He's another one of these New Japan strong guys. He's not really a New Japan wrestler. He wrestles in the States for New Japan, which is not really New Japan. Huge letdown that we lose Ishii for this card. A lot of injuries hurt this card.
Oh, yeah. Injuries are killing this card, without question.
Yeah.
But I think he has the least likely chance of winning, I think, on Sunday. More than likely this Clark Connors, I think.
He's got no chance in hell.
I mean, it probably takes a pin. A good chance of that.
Yeah, probably. Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara team up with Minoru Suzuki. That's a weird team. They take on Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Utah, and Shooter Umino. All right. Another weird team there. Will Ospreay, the Aerial Assassin, defends the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship against Orange Cassidy. FTR, the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, take on Great O'Khan and Jeff Cobb, the IWGP Tag Team Champions, and Roppongi Vice, Trent Beretta, and Rocky Romero in a winner-takes-all triple threat tag team title match for the IWGP and Ring of Honor titles. Thunder Rosa defends her AEW Women's Championship against Toni Storm in a match that doesn't belong on this show. The Bullet Club gets El Fantasmo, Hikaleo, and the Young Bucks taking on Darby Allin, Sting, Shingo Takagi, and Hiromu Takahashi. I tell you, that was something I did not expect to see in 2022. Sting and Shingo on the same team. Stingo. They should be a team and call themselves Stingo. If you've never seen Shingo Takagi, by the way, he's tremendous. And Zack Sabre Jr. will wrestle a mystery opponent that I am hoping is Cesaro. And there's a reason to watch that.
Strongest candidate would be Cesaro, I think. I mean, there are other options, apparently. Gargano is one. People are shooting out there. Ugh. But yeah, I agree. You would think, just by the way Danielson was talking when Dynamite started, like it seemed like he was leaning towards that. I would think, but maybe it'll be a surprise, but he's the top pick, I would suspect.
So Bryan Danielson cut an in-ring promo to start off Dynamite this week. Talked about a Forbidden Door. Says it's going to be a pay-per-view between the two best pro wrestling companies in the world, AEW and New Japan. I wonder if he talked to his father-in-law lately. Stepfather-in-law, whatever he calls him.
Hey, Brian, what? Not doing so good these days. Kathy kicked me out of the house.
Well, and they got kicked out of his own company for a little bit. Suspended.
Vince fired me. But he suspended me. Nope. He's on TV every week. I don't understand. It's bullshit. I'm getting screwed. I'm getting screwed. I'm a dude with attitude. Getting screwed. If you don't got it,
I noticed that.
Get it. If you don't get it, figure it out.
Are Sting and Darby Allin dudes with attitudes? Because I saw that listed. I don't know. Is that the name of their team for AEW? Like,
What is that? I don't know. It seems like a joke. I don't know if that's real. Because weren't the two dudes with attitude Johnny Ace and Shane Douglas, I want to say.
And I believe, Shawn Michaels and Diesel, I think as well. They didn't call themselves the Click back then, right?
Right.
They just called themselves two dudes with attitude.
Anyways, Bryan Danielson, before I go on and on about Bryan Danielson talking to Johnny Ace, which I'm sure would be hilarious. I cannot wait to hear those stories. Brian didn't talk about Johnny Ace. He talked about Blood and Guts. He talked about Forbidden Door. He talked about Zack Sabre Jr. and how Zack Sabre Jr. wanted to wrestle him. And Zack Sabre thinks that he's the best technical wrestler in the world. And Brian was going to break his trachea, I think he said. Kick his trachea in. Yep. I don't know. That was pretty good. I'm dealing with a bit of a trachea issue right now, and it's not fun.
Too much coffee.
No, I think it's like somebody put the squeeze on my neck and it just kind of, you know, I'm all right.
Oh, little guy's getting too tough now.
Yeah, no, it's not the little guy. It's big guys at the gym. It's somebody else. It's not him. that's what I'm saying. Like my butt, there's always something messed up. You understand.
You're understand. Beat up. I understand. You get no sleep. Like it's going to beat up your body more. So
yeah, that too. So, Brian, he's beat up. He's injured. He says he's not going to be able to wrestle at Forbidden Door or Blood and Guts. But he says he's fine. He's in great shape. And he'll be back. He says he can run 2 miles without breaking a sweat. He can do all this stuff. Pretty he's good. In great shape. And he's all fine. I'm like, okay, well, then what's the injury? Why aren't you wrestling? He says he's not medically cleared. He never said he's injured. He just said he's not medically cleared. But he will be back. Didn't say when. Didn't say why. Which worries me, given his history. He does say he's found an opponent for Zack Sabre Jr. and a guy to replace him at Blood and Guts. And they're going to have the best technical wrestling match there is, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be a great replacement. And that's cool, and we'll talk about the replacement for a second, but nobody knows the deal with Bryan Danielson. What's the injury? What's the situation? There are rumors that it might be a concussion issue, but nobody really knows. And if it's a concussion issue, like, that's bad. That's scary.
Yep.
He had a career-ending concussion issue. So, the fact that he's not being medically cleared right now, yet he seems defiant about it, is worrisome. Because we've been down this road before with Bryan Danielson. So I hope he's all right.
Well, to me, what's worrisome is, like, Tony Khan did, like, a media scrum. And he said, like, Danielson wanted to wrestle, but Tony Khan didn't want him to wrestle. So that's kind of worrisome. Someone else is like, no, you got to calm down here. I'm worried about you. So that's rough. You got to start thinking then. Maybe, yeah, it might be something that just come up again. Maybe his neck again, possibly.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. He seems upset about it. I'm worried. I don't know what's going on with Bryan Danielson, but it makes me mad, you know? Like, this guy should never have been in these nothing matches. And now he's hurt. And you're never going to get, you know, Punk, Bryan. You're never, like, you might get it, but, you know, when people get hurt, you can get hurt in a main event match, and you can get hurt in a match that means nothing. And when you stick main eventers in matches that mean nothing, and they get hurt in those matches, well, you've misused your talent. And that's the problem with the misuse of talent in professional wrestling today. These guys and these women are getting put in these nothing matches, these nothing stories, these things that really have no relevance to anything in the grand scheme of what they're doing or what professional wrestling is, and then they wind up getting hurt. Stop doing too much, and also stop. Stop putting these guys in these lowly programs. Like, Bryan Danielson had no business being in these arena asylum matches or whatever the hell he was doing. He had no reason to be in that nonsense. But they threw him in there anyways. Because that's what they do. And now he's hurt. So instead of being in main events, he was in a bunch of jabroni matches with Eddie Kingston and all the goons, and now he's hurt. And that's the problem with this bad booking. It's like, well, sure, do that for now, and then maybe you'll bring him up eventually back to the main event. But if he gets hurt before then, you don't get there. And that pisses me off. We didn't get what we were supposed to get with Bryan Danielson. You stuck him into these nothing matches, this stupid feud. Put him in a tag team to try and get Wheeler Utah over, and now look what you get. No Bryan Danielson at Forbidden Door. We were supposed to get Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. Remember that shit I was just saying about conserving Roman Reigns and trying to keep him for the big matches, and why throw him on TV all the time in these nothing matches when you could rest him and save him for the big opportunities? Well, here's a big opportunity for Bryan Danielson. Here's a dream match that could have sold the pay-per-view with Zack Sabre Jr., and we're not getting it because he was in the Arena Asylum match, or whatever the hell it was called. Anarchy in the Arena, Chris Jericho's goddamn dream. The January 6th dilemma for Chris Jericho. I don't know what it's called. You see that t-shirt? It's like a Chris Jericho. Somebody put out a fake Chris Jericho t-shirt. It's like Chris Jericho's face, and underneath it says, "Where was my wife on January 6th? Tremendous.
I didn't see
you
that.
You know where she was, right? Storming the Capitol, John.
I saw the photos. But
everybody saw those photos. Just like,
there's some breaking news. They've added two matches for the pay-per-view.
Boo.
I don't know if you caught that or not.
I didn't catch it.
I believe
those were pre-show matches, though, they added, no?
Was it? I hope so.
I think it was a pre-show match.
Two then, at least. So that means that buy-in just became extremely long. I think that buy-in might just be all matches now.
That's fine.
But I saw Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland were added to a tag match. And I want to say QT Marshall and Aaron Solo, I think, as well. They're not in the same match. These are two different matches here I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And that's
Hold
just,
on.
Just what I caught.
I'm catching it right now, I think. No, I have no idea.
Well, I'm sure it'll pop up.
I have no idea. Soon I enough. Saw some matches just added. I did notice that, John. I have no idea who got added. I'll try to tell you in a second. But, yeah, they just keep adding matches. Why? Why are they doing this to me? They're killing me.
Right now that we got the main event here, Jeff Cobb against Cash Wheeler, I think. This is going to be the main event. It's the last match for the pay-per-view. And if this is any indication of what's probably going to happen, because of all the tag teams, I expect a brawl, much like how Dynamite ended pretty much. Not a bad ending to Dynamite, doing it that way. I think it's been a while since we've seen like a show end like that.
I didn't like the finish of Dynamite. It was weird. It was Tanahashi and Moxley beating Jericho and Archer. Tana hit the high fly flow on Archer for the win. And then the Jericho Society started brawling with Eddie Kingston and Wheeler Utah, and Suzuki came down, and they all had a brawl, and Shota Umino. And that was all fine, the brawl outside the ring. But Moxley and Tanahashi standing in the ring staring at each other for an eternity was just awkward. Like, them just standing there, not doing anything, it was like, all right, this is too scripted. This is too, like, let's shoot this scene for a movie. But it's like, cool, everybody's brawling on the outside. Of course, nobody spills into the ring to disturb the Tanahashi-John Moxley scene. They're just standing there looking at each other stoically among the chaos and the wreckage, and they just stand there forever while people just keep coming out and brawling. It just looks stupid. It's stupid. Also, like, Moxley sees his buddy Eddie Kingston right outside the ring. He doesn't go and try to help him. He doesn't do shit. He's just like, oh, there's Eddie Kingston getting beat up. I guess I'll just keep staring at Tanahashi. That was dumb, man. Like, it just looked dumb.
Oh, yeah.
It was cool for, like, a couple seconds while they were standing there, but the longer it went on, it was like, dude, are Moxley and Tanahashi going to punch each other? They're just going to stand there. And they just stood there for, like, 10 minutes. It was awkward.
Yeah, that part was. But I did like the whole idea of, like, New Japan. It felt like almost like an invasion kind of thing, how New Japan guys just started coming out. Like, I like that. Yeah, the whole staring in the ring was kind of stupid because nothing happened. But on the outside, I'm like, that was good. They should do more of that. Or they should have done more of that beforehand.
I didn't feel like it was a New Japan invasion because there were so many guys coming out, like Santana and Ortiz were there. Like, it didn't feel like an invasion to me. Because it was a bunch of AEW guys. It felt like a mess. I couldn't tell who was on what side. You know what I mean? Like,
everyone
there was all these.
Black.
Yeah, Suzuki well, comes out, and I'm like, Suzuki's with who again? Oh, he's with Jericho's team? Why is he with Jericho's team? You know what I mean?
The alignments are weird, but, you know, you would know it more than I would, right? So if you can't understand it, then it's pretty bad.
Yeah, well, because they don't make sense, because they're mixing New Japan a lot, like, teams with AEW teams, and they don't even add up, and they don't even mix with each other. So let me tell you the new matches that they just threw up there. They're all for the buy-in. It's QT Marshall and Aaron Solo taking on Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi. Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland taking on El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Jesus, the size difference between Lee and his opponents there is going to be ridiculous. Desperado and Kanemaru are junior heavyweights. Members of Suzuki Goon. Kanemaru and Despy. El Desperado. He's a Japanese guy who wears a lucha mask and calls himself El Desperado. I can't explain it. Okay. So
overall,
no Brian Danielson.
How many matches?
Fuck, 12 total.
Wow.
Yeah, it sucks. Three of them are on the buy-in, though. That means the pay-per-view is going to be 9, which is manageable. Probably 4 hours.
Well, we'll see.
I'm guessing around 4 hours. 8 to midnight, 9 matches in 4 hours. I think they can get it done.
It all depends what matches they want to go long with. Like, you expect Moxley, Tanahashi, that's easily 20, 25 minutes, right?
Yeah.
But what about the four-way?
Yeah, same.
Kata and, yeah, that's, you think so too? Wow. So then that might make it kind of long then.
Yeah. Everything else could be short, though. Nothing else has to be a long match here.
Jericho's match is going to be long. You know that.
It shouldn't be. What's Jericho's match? Jericho, Guevara, and Minoru Suzuki. Like, Jericho and Guevara make sense. Why do they have Suzuki with them? They take on...
So they can do...
Yeah?
Kingston, that's why. Suzuki and Kingston is to get that match in there, and you already threw a bunch of other guys, so everyone got to have a match.
So why don't you just do Suzuki versus Kingston instead?
It's one less match. You're just piling a bunch of guys together.
It's a stupid match. It doesn't make sense. Eddie Kingston teaming with... Eddie Kingston is like friends with Santana and Ortiz, who are not booked on this pay-per-view. Because they're doing the blood and guts thing on Dynamite, right?
Right. Maybe they have a deal with AAA too, though, possibly. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Eddie Kingston teaming with Wheeler Utah and Shota Umino. Why?
Well, if you don't know why, I definitely don't know why.
Well, I mean, explain Eddie Kingston with Wheeler Utah. They're AEW guys. Why? Why are they together? They both hate Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara? Like, is this Arena and the Asylum leftover shit? Like, what is this?
Aren't they teaming for Blood and Guts, too, though? I imagine they are.
I don't know. What's Blood and Guts? Who's in Blood and Guts?
Well, no longer Danielson, right? So Wheeler's going to take his spot. I think that's pretty much the only change, really, I think.
Well, I don't know who's in the match, though.
Well, you'll see Wednesday, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty much anarchy in the arena, just Wheeler takes Danielson's spot.
AEW's Blood and Guts in Detroit coming up on Wednesday is going to be Jericho, Hager, Garcia, Parker, and Menard. Taking on Kingston, Santana, Ortiz, Moxley, and somebody. Whoever is replacing Bryan Danielson. All right. Let's go with that Chris Jericho match since we mentioned it. Jericho, Sammy Guevara, Minoru Suzuki versus Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Utah, and Shota Umino. I think Team Jericho wins this. Jericho with Suzuki, I think they win. Shota Umino is basically a jobber. I think he takes the fall. And that sets up an Eddie Kingston team win for Blood and Guts. I think Eddie Kingston's team will win at Blood and Guts. I think Jericho's team will lose. So Jericho's team will win here at Forbidden Door.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I agree.
And somehow they've put Minoru Suzuki in a match that I don't even care about. Takes a lot to do that.
It'll get a reaction when him and Kingston are in the ring together, so that's pretty much what this match is made for, I think.
I don't see Kingston as a strong style deathmatch performer that everybody else does. I don't get it. I haven't seen him take anything that impressive.
Right, but he's over, and people view him as this guy that, you know, it's hard to beat up, so... You want to see what happened if you go against Suzuki. They even said it, I think, on commentating as well. Like, oh, Suzuki's there. Kingston's there. What's going to happen?
I don't get the Eddie Kingston deal. I feel like Eddie Kingston puts on this, like, tough guy act, and people that don't understand what a real tough guy is, they buy into it. But I've seen too many real tough guys that I see Eddie Kingston, I'm like, nah. Just the way he wrestles, the way he kind of looks, the way he walks around, I'm like, I don't think you're that tough. I think Bryan Danielson would turn you into a pretzel pretty easily. I think a lot of the guys on the roster. I think Minoru Suzuki, like, that's the thing. Minoru Suzuki is a legit badass. Eddie Kingston would get demolished by Minoru Suzuki. In a real fight, he would get smoked in moments. It would take seconds for Eddie Kingston to be choked unconscious by Minoru Suzuki. And that's the thing with Eddie Kingston. I think it's a bunch of marks that don't really know that are like, oh, Eddie Kingston, you know, he's streetwise. It's like, yeah, but can he fight? Because he doesn't look like he can fight. And he doesn't wrestle like he can fight. It's real sloppy brawling. The technique is not sharp. Like, it's kind of, I don't know. Like, he's probably tough. He's obviously tough. He can take a beating, but that doesn't mean you're dangerous. I don't know. I don't buy it with Eddie Kingston. And I don't really see the appeal of him against Suzuki. I see Suzuki as a legit tough guy who can actually fight. And Eddie Kingston is, you know, a guy that plays tough guy on TV.
I understand how you see it like that. I think there's a bunch of people that feel that way. But there's also a huge section, especially AEW fans that go to the arena and always make the noise. They're going to love Eddie Kingston no matter what he does, pretty much.
You seen some of those fans?
You know, they are who they are, whatever. I don't know.
You see the crowd shots, though, bro? Come on, man. You see those crowd shots sometimes? I'm like, yeah, I can see why you're an Eddie Kingston fan. I don't want to be disrespectful here, but just some of the look on some of these AEW fans in the audience, especially lately, they do these crowd shots, and they're not doing themselves any favors, you know? There's already a certain kind of view of AEW fans as kind of out of shape, ugly basement dwellers with no life or, you know, living with their mom, kind of pathetic dudes. And then you see, like, the AEW audience and the live crowd, and you're like, oh, yeah, that kind of looks like a sad, kind of lonely existence, guys, with no real. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel bad saying it, you know, because, like, but it's just you see some of these guys in the crowd, and you're like, oof, what's happening here? Man, get a haircut. You know what I mean? Just get a haircut. Like, yeah, shave your beard, cut your hair. Yeah, take care of yourself. It's just guys that look like they haven't bathed in like a few weeks. You know what I mean? Greasy looking dudes in the AEW audience. Bray Wyatt looking motherfuckers, you know, without the millions of dollars. Just bad. Bray Wyatt can look like that. He's married to JoJo. What's your excuse, AEW fan? You know what I'm saying?
He made that look popular, possibly. I'm not sure.
I think he did. A lot of guys, you know, like, loved it too because they're like, he looks like us. Yeah, but he's nothing like you. Oh, God.
We got some brawling here on Rampage.
Oh, you love it. It's a big brawl. Eddie Kingston is brawling with Chris Jericho. Trent is brawling with Great O'Conn. Oh, Eddie Kingston is biting Jericho's nose. What a great wrestling move. I don't know why. Like, I want to like Eddie Kingston, but every time I see him do shit, I'm like, oh, God, this guy again. I really do want to like him because people like him and everything, and he's got a good promo, but sometimes the promo is just not that believable because everything else, I'm like, yeah, right, dude. We don't believe you.
Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, well, good.
And it looks like they're fighting the crowd now.
Eddie Kingston and Jericho kind of fighting in the crowd. Yeah, I saw a guy wearing an Expos hat in the crowd. See, not everybody's bad in the AEW audience. There's Expos fans there. Good for you. All right. So Team Jericho wins at Forbidden Door. What else do we have at Forbidden Door? You want to do the pre-show matches? How about Max Caster and the Ass Boys against Yuya, Coughlin, DKC, and Kevin Knight? I'm going to go with Caster and the Ass Boys because I don't know who the other guys are, really. I know Yuya. I don't know the rest of them. And even Yuya. Yeah, it's like, come on.
It's going to be my philosophy as well. It's like, I'll pretty much just go with AEW because I'm not sure New Japan so much. So more than likely, it's going to be a lot of AEW, I think.
All right. How about QT Marshall and Aaron Solo taking on Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi? That's a New Japan match right there. Yoshihashi and Hirooki Goto will get that one. They will win. QT Marshall and Aaron Solo are straight up jabronis, and Goto and Hashi are not jabronis in New Japan. They're higher level on the pecking order here. They'll win. They have to win. Like, it's disrespectful for them to lose to those guys.
Well, New Japan can't lose all the matches. So, yeah, this is one, I think, made just so New Japan can actually win some matches. So, yeah, New Japan wins this.
Yeah, they got to win some.
This brawl's still going on, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's stupid.
Jericho got on the mic for a little bit.
Yeah, he got on the way. He said, Eddie Kingston, you see what happens. And Eddie Kingston just started running away.
And he ripped his gear.
Jericho ran off. Kingston. Now everybody's just... The brawl has stopped. They're just kind of posturing at this point. And then Rampage is over.
They're going off the air.
Nobody watches Rampage. You know that?
Well,
nobody watches.
Hockey's going on. Is Stanley Cup awarded yet?
Nobody watches hockey.
Well, a lot of people watch hockey. It's crazy.
Not that many people. Swerve in our glory. Swerve and Keith Lee taking on El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. I think this will be a Swerve and Keith Lee win. They're just too big, especially Keith Lee, too big for Desperado and Kanemaru. And you don't know who these guys are, Desperado and Kanemaru, right? So you got to go with Keith Lee.
Right.
Keith Lee.
I just think in terms of star power, I would think Keith Lee is going to be a future major star in AEW, so. Yeah, I think he's going to win this match.
I don't know. I think he's going to need to work on that promo if he's going to be a major star in AEW.
Yeah, well, him and Veer, they're kind of the same, in my opinion. They're pushing Veer, so.
Veer speaks two languages.
Yeah, but the way he talks, though, it kind of sounds like Keith Lee, the way he talks.
Veer has a better look.
It's a different look. I don't know if it's a better look.
I think it's a better look. It's more... unique. There are fewer guys in pro wrestling, in the history of pro wrestling, that have looked like Veer than have looked like Keith Lee.
But Keith Lee, for what he looks like and what he can do,
yeah,
that's extremely unique. Like, that's more unique than Veer.
I think Keith Lee is better than Veer. But I'm just saying, Veer's got some upside, too. I like Veer. John Moxley taking on Hiroshi Tanahashi, the ace of New Japan, for the AEW World Championship, the interim World Championship. I think this has to be John Moxley winning this, right? Like,
this is the main event, so yeah.
Tanahashi's not winning unless they plan to do Tanahashi versus CM Punk, because this was probably going to be Tanahashi versus CM Punk, but Punk got hurt, so they do Tanahashi versus Moxley instead. Maybe Tanahashi wins. And we do Tanahashi versus Punk eventually for the Undisputed title?
The only problem with that is that you'd have Tanahashi for all that period of time. I feel like they'd rather Moxley for all that period of time while they wait for Punk. So Moxley just makes more sense. I mean, it's not possible, like you say, but it just makes more sense with Moxley.
I would be so much happier, though, if Tanahashi won. Because it would be surprising, and it would mean that we do get Tanahashi versus Punk, which is the match that I really wanted to see.
Right.
And, you know, we'd get more Tanahashi in AEW, which I think is great. Honestly, it wouldn't be a bad move for New Japan, because he's kind of aged out of the main event scene. But in AEW, he could come in and be the main event scene, you know? Like, he's still good.
Interesting.
He's just not the man anymore in that company. And he's kind of on his way out as far as being like a top guy in that company. So I could see him going AEW for a bit, maybe as a trade for maybe a John Moxley going to Japan for a bit. Like, I could see that happening. I could see them maybe doing a trade. Maybe they do like Hangman for Tanahashi for a bit. I mean...
wait and see.
I don't think that this is over between New Japan and AEW. I don't think they're going to do a pay-per-view together and then never work together again. Right? I believe that they will continue this working relationship. We will see more matches and stories between the two companies. And this would be a perfect time to start some things for the future. It's not a terrible move. Hangman might need a little time away from AEW right now. Just lost the belt. Imagine he wins the IWGP World Heavyweight title. Goes over to Japan. goes on loan to New Japan Pro Wrestling for a while, while Hiroshi Tanahashi's on loan to AEW as the interim world champion. If they could get it done, I think they should get it done. How about that?
Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm...
You know, back in the old territory days when a guy was kind of done, he'd kind of done it all and been there and done that, they move him on to another territory. Hangman's been there, done that, champion, lost a belt. Maybe move him on somewhere else for a bit. Bring him back in a few months. Tanahashi's been there, done that, New Japan, he's done it all. Maybe loan him out to AEW for a bit. Give him a fresh coat of paint. Telling you, if this is a real working relationship between the two companies, this would be the best possible move for both companies and for both wrestlers. It would give Hangman a whole new mystique, a whole new accolade, bring him to a whole new level as IWGP World Champion. And it would give Tanahashi a brand new lease on life and a great new following in the United States. I'm telling you, it's not a bad move, but I don't think they'll do that because I don't think they're booking with that type of open mind and open heart between the two companies. You know, you really got to trust the other company if you're going to loan Tanahashi to AEW and they're going to trade Hangman. Like, there's got to be some real trust there. And that's tough to do in pro wrestling. I'm not sure they're going to do it. But, goddamn, pal, it would be pretty cool. It would be pretty cool and pretty fun. But I think Moxley probably beats Tanahashi and Jay White probably retains the IWGP title. But if I were booking things and I ran both companies because I own them both, I would say, Tana, you're going to go to AEW. You're the new champion there. And I'd say, Hangman, you're going to go to IWGP. You're going to, or New Japan, you're the new champion there. There you go. Bada bing, bada boom. Could work. But I don't think it happens. I think Moxley wins. We do Moxley Punk down the road for the interim, for the unified AEW title. And Jay White just beat Okada for the IWGP title. I don't think he drops it here. I think he retains the title in this match. I think they'll both be good matches, but I feel like the endings are foregone conclusions, which sucks. You don't want your main events to be kind of obvious. And that's what this feels like. The two main events, the two title matches, seem kind of obvious.
Well, it's like you said, the four-way, yeah, completely with Jay White. But it's a four-way. I mean, it's not possible to give it to, like, Okada. That's not impossible. It could happen like that.
Yeah.
But, like you say, it just seems like, yeah, more than likely it's going to be Jay White. More than likely it's going to be Moxley. But the Tanahashi thing, like, it could happen. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Because, yeah, him and Punk, I wouldn't mind seeing that. But I think we have to really think about, like, when will Punk come back? Like, if he's going to come back in a little bit, then it would make more sense. But if it's going to be possibly months and months and months, Moxley makes more sense. So I think you just go with that. I mean, that's your main event guy. And you saw the way they've been pushing Moxley, doing more promos like he used to again. It just seems they're pushing him to be the top guy.
That's what it seems like. Moxley Punk seems like where we're headed. And Tanahashi, you know, he was supposed to wrestle CM Punk on this pay-per-view. It was a one-off. He was going to lose, and that was it. There were no plans for Tanahashi to come in, beat Punk, be the AEW World Champion. Just because CM Punk gets hurt doesn't mean Tanahashi's plans change. I think it's a one-off. He loses to Moxley. We move on.
And they gave him the win on Dynamite, so I think that was kind of like, well, we're giving you this at least.
Yes, we did see Hiroshi Tanahashi on AEW Dynamite this week, which was pretty cool. Tana and Moxley getting the win over Jericho and Archer. That was pretty cool. Nothing as good as that Christian promo, which we should talk about too. My God.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So we've both got Moxley winning, becoming new AEW champion, Jay White retaining the IWGP world title in a four-way. Kind of surprised they're doing a four-way, but what the hell. We've got another four-way on this, the AEW All-Atlantic Championship. Clark Connors, Malakai Black, Miro, and Pac in this one. I think they give it to Pac. They haven't given him anything.
Really?
Has he won anything in AEW?
No, but I mean, they gave him a couple big matches. He had that Iron Man match with Kenny. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
And he had that title match against Kenny as well.
He didn't win, though.
It was a double or nothing. He didn't win. Maybe. He wasn't pinned, though.
Nah, but that's the thing. Like, he never has won anything big. Maybe he never will. Like, I could see Malakai Black or Miro winning this thing, too.
I got Miro.
I'm going to go with Pac. They haven't given him anything, really. Why not give him this? He's an AEW original, is he not? Like, wasn't he there since pretty much day one?
He was, well, I mean, he was, but he wasn't, because for whatever reason, I forget if it was an injury or something, he couldn't make the first show.
Right.
Remember, he's supposed to wrestle Hangman?
Right. But, basically a day one guy with AEW. This is their inaugural championship, AEW All-Atlantic title. Give it to Pac. I think this match will probably be good. Would have been better if it was Ishii instead of Connors. Oh, well.
Well, I agree, but I like you said, I think it'll still be a good match. Just to have two four-ways on one show, it's a lot.
Yeah, I don't love it. I would have been satisfied with White and Cole versus Hangman and Okada, but they're doing a four-way for the title. Maybe New Japan wanted their belt to be defended here, I don't know. Will Ospreay defending the IWGP United States Championship against Orange Cassidy. Yeah, right. If Will Ospreay loses, we riot. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. It's a joke match. I don't even understand why Ospreay's wrestling this guy. I know it's supposed to be Andrade, but goddamn, if this is the best AEW had to offer as a replacement for Andrade, yeesh, not great. Don't care about this match. I know who's going to win. Will Ospreay's great, but I've seen Will Ospreay in some real good matches with some real good wrestlers, and Orange Cassidy is okay, but it's not a dream match for Will Ospreay. Like, this is supposed to be a dream match pay-per-view, and I'm not seeing too many matches I've dreamt about, you know? Like, not a single dream match on this card.
I feel you on that one, but as we've seen the past, Orange Cassidy, especially on pay-per-view, he seems to really step up. So, like, I've been surprised too many times in the past where it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of the better matches we actually see on Sunday.
I wouldn't be surprised either, but that's because Will Ospreay is so damn good. And I think Orange can hang with him. I think Orange can hang. But he will lose. Ospreay will definitely win. FTR, this is a match that's interesting because there are two championships on the line, the IWGP tag titles and the Ring of Honor tag titles. FTR, the Ring of Honor champs, Great O'Conn and Jeff Cobb, the IWGP champs, and Trent and Rocky Romero in the match. I think they give it to Trent and Rocky because I think Trent and Rocky are most likely to head to Japan. I think you can defend both belts over in Japan. I don't think FTR is headed to Japan. But you never know. Maybe they do a little run there. And I don't see the Ring of Honor belts going on Great O'Conn and Jeff Cobb. But again, I'm not sure. This is the one match that I could see going any which way. This is maybe right. The most interesting match finish-wise on the card. Because I have no idea how this is going to be booked. One team will walk out with a new set of belts. One team might walk out with two new sets of belts if it's Roppongi Vice winning. And I think it will be Roppongi Vice. I think they walk in with nothing and they walk out with everything. IWGP and Ring of Honor belts. I'm going with Trent and Rocky.
I like your pick because, yeah, they walk in with nothing and then they walk out with everything. I love that, the way that could work out. However, because it's so close to call, I'll go something different and I'll say FTR. Just because, like you say, like I feel like this could go either three ways. So I'll go FTR because I think it would just add to their legacy and would add to make that match with the Young Bucks they're going to have even bigger, where you put all those championships on the line one match.
That'd be crazy. AEW, yeah. Ring of Honor, New Japan, all the tag belts on the line, one match, FTR versus Bucks, maybe the biggest tag team match of all time. I mean, you put all those belts on the line, you have those two all-time great tag teams. It's one of the biggest tag team matches of all time if you could do that. It's a pretty good idea. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's a good idea, John. I like it. Thunder Rosa takes on Toni Storm. Thunder Rosa defending the AEW World Championship against Toni. And this week on Dynamite, I don't know if you noticed this, but Toni Storm wrestled Marina Shafir and beat her. Nyla Rose was in Marina Shafir. Huh?
I noticed that. I saw that happen.
The match, yeah. Nyla Rose was in Marina's corner, and then she attacked Toni Storm after the match. Thunder Rosa showed up and dropkicked Marina Shafir with the stiffness. I don't know if you noticed that, but she looked like she put everything behind that dropkick to Marina Shafir. And I don't know if you heard, but Thunder Rosa, somebody tweeted out that Thunder Rosa was sandbagging Marina in the match, and Thunder wasn't going with the stuff, and she wasn't working with Marina, and that's why the match was so bad. And then apparently Marina liked that tweet, and Britt Baker also liked that tweet. So there's maybe some heat on Thunder Rosa for not working with the rest of the people in the locker room, and maybe Marina's a little mad with Thunder, but it definitely made the wrestling news, so Thunder caught wind of it. Of Marina liking the tweet saying that Thunder ruined their match. And the first time that they touched again on TV, Thunder Rosa gives Marina a real stiff dropkick. Did you notice that?
Well, I also noticed like Thunder posted a photo with Marina. So,
oh, did she?
Like, yeah. So I think there's a difference between like, you know, getting people riled up for stuff. You saw it with Natty and Ronda. You know, I think it's just riling people up, getting people interested, and then, you know, what actually happens backstage. But, you know, people have a thing against Thunder, so it just adds to it, possibly. It doesn't really work in this case because she's a face, but down the road it might work. I mean, look what happened with Ty Conte.
Yeah. People turned on Ty Conte, and it's working for her. Although, since she's joined up with Sammy Guevara, like, does she still wrestle?
Well, it's tough because, like, what other group has females in it? Like,
not in New Japan. Doing this thing with New Japan, yeah. They don't have a... Yeah. Yeah. I don't see Thunder dropping the belt to Toni Storm here, though.
Yeah, it's too soon. Like, maybe if they build this up more, but it's way out of nowhere. That's it. I think it'll be a pretty good match, though. I thought Toni had a very good match this week on Dynamite, but... it's just too soon for her to win the title.
It's just odd because it's supposed to be AEW, New Japan, Forbidden Door. It's Thunder Rosa, Toni Storm. This match could happen on Dynamite. I don't know why they're doing this on this pay-per-view. Again, this pay-per-view is going to be so long. I think the only reason they're doing this on this pay-per-view is because there's no women's matches and they didn't want to take the heat. Because New Japan doesn't have women's wrestling. So it's right. Hard to do New Japan versus AEW in a women's match. There's no women's wrestlers in New Japan. But shit. Did you have to? Like, I don't know. Did this match need to happen? Would people be that upset if there was no women's matches on this card? Maybe.
I think some people would have complained, yeah.
Some people, but like, well, blame New Japan for not having women's wrestling. Like, it's just how it works over there. I don't know, like... Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm feels out of place on this card. That's just me.
What? It's just out of place because it just comes out of nowhere. Like, they've had a week or two build and suddenly, oh, well, there's going to be a match. That's why it's out of place. Like, if there was more build towards it, it wouldn't be that bad. But
again, have they showed us any reason why? Like, do they dislike each other?
Well, no, just Toni said, like, she wants to be champion. She's got a couple wins. She had a moment where she held the title and Thunder looked at her. And now that I think 2 weeks now, it's been like, I save you, but I'm looking at you, you know, evil eye yeah. And evil eye back. And that's what we've got.
Lame. It's lame. Thunder will win. And, you know, Thunder winning here does no favors to Toni Storm, who loses to Britt Baker in that Owen Hart tournament. now loses to Thunder for the title. Tony Storm comes in and they hot shot her to the top, and then she'll disappear. What happened to Ruby Riott? She's getting the Ruby Riott treatment. What happened to her?
Well, Tony still has the Jade match, at least.
Yeah, she'll lose to Jade, and then she'll be done. Then she'll be back on AEW Dark. It's weird. Maybe Sasha Banks will get a win over Thunder Rosa. Bring on Sasha Banks. The Bullet Club. El Fantasmo, Hikaleo, and the Young Bucks take on Darby Allin, Sting, Shingo Takagi, and Hiromu Takahashi. Wow. Very excited to see Hiromu in this. I think the team of Darby, Sting, Shingo, and Hiromu win. I think Fantasmo or Hikaleo take the fall. But I think that the good guy team wins here. Darby, Sting, and the Los Ingobernables de Japón representatives of Shingo Takagi and Hiromu Takahashi. And my God, do I wish it was just Hiromu versus Darby one-on-one. Could we get that? Could we get that on Dynamite? Can Hiromu stay in the States for a couple of weeks and have a match with Darby and not break his neck, please? Hiromu Takahashi is one of the most electric performers in the world today. He's one of the most exciting professional wrestlers. And one of the, you know, most importantly, one of the biggest daredevils in professional wrestling. So him versus maybe the biggest daredevil in pro wrestling, Darby Allin, would be a dream match. Again, you want to talk about dream matches. Hiromu versus Darby is a dream match. Hiromu on a team with Darby in an 8-man tag is cool, but not really doing it. Not a dream match. But my God, what a team. Darby, Sting, Shingo, and Hiromu. Like, if you know New Japan and you know AEW, you know that that is a ridiculous team. They're so stacked, they cannot lose. They cannot lose. El Fantasmo and Hikaleo are kind of like Bullet Club jobbers. They'll take the fall. The Young Bucks, of course, they won't, but Fantasmo probably loses here. He'll get pinned by Sting. He's not worried about it. Good Canadian boy, El Fantasmo, from Vancouver. Hell of a wrestler. Hell of a wrestler. But, you know, he's booked to lose a lot of the times. But goddamn, is he talented. I'm a big fan of El Fantasmo. LP. But I got Sting's team because it's Sting, you know? It's Sting. What are you going to do with Sting? I love that team, though. That's a hell of a team. That's a hell of a four-man team. And weird that they mix together, but it kind of works. Like, that's one of those weird mishmashes of New Japan and AEW that kind of makes sense. Darby, Sting, Shingo, and Hiromu. Why not? You know about Hiromu? You know about Shingo? These guys are awesome, John.
I don't, but it's like you said, like, you know, Sting's there, and it's like, well, Sting barely ever loses, so I imagine Sting's team's going to win. And Sting just recently came back, so yeah, they're going to win. Makes sense.
Shingo and Hiromu are two of the best wrestlers in the world today. All right? Leave it at that. Two of the best. So
we'll find out Sunday how good they are.
You won't. It's an 8-man tag. You're not going to really, you know? It's not a true indication, but you'll see a little bit. You'll see what Hiromu can do. The ticking time bomb, Hiromu Takahashi. He's one of the best. And finally, Zack Sabre Jr. versus a mystery opponent that I'm hoping. You know, we're not getting Bryan Danielson, but I'm hoping we get Cesaro instead. Give me Claudio Castagnoli. Give me Antonio Cesaro. Big Dick Tony. Let me see that Cesaro swing. Big Dick Tony is what Sheamus called him. They were a tag team. Of course, you remember The Bar. And, of course, his name was Antonio Cesaro at one time, so that's where the Tony comes from. And Big Dick is not what you think. He's just because he's a dick. He's a big dick. So he calls him Big Dick Tony. Not as like a nice thing about his penis, but as a negative thing about his personality. But he called him that to his face when they were a tag team. So, you know. Big Dick Tony. I think that's a great Cesaro nickname. I like that the Tony comes. It's like, yeah, he was Antonio Cesaro, so I call him Tony. Oh, that's good. But his real name is, I think his real name is Claudio Castagnoli, right? So he's like Italian, I guess.
I feel...
Well, he's Swiss.
There you go.
But he might be... He might have Italian ancestry with a name like Claudio Castagnoli. I mean, that's an Italian name, is it not? That's his real name. Like, he's born in Switzerland. He's probably Swiss. His parents may have been born in Switzerland, but his grandparents must have been Italian or something, no? Can't have a last... You can't be called Claudio Castagnoli and not be Italian? At some point down the road, you know, up in the gene pool, no? That's not a Swiss name.
I was waiting for AJ to comment on
AJ
this one.
AJ knows. And... AJ, you know, right? You ever heard of a guy called Claudio Castagnoli and not be Italian? I haven't. Maybe Portuguese, I guess. I guess you could pull that off, maybe. Castagnoli, though? That seems Italian. Anyways... Big Dick Tony's probably going to be Zack Sabre Jr.'s opponent, which would be great. Got fired by WWE. There were rumors he was going to come back. Yeah. He's a Swiss cheese with a sprinkle of Parmigiano. AJ said that, not me. AJ's Italian, so he's allowed. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Cesaro, I think. It better not be Johnny Gargano. Yeah, Antoinette says that's Italian. It's for sure Italian. Claudio Castagnoli? I mean, that's an Italian name. Johnny Gargano? That also sounds Italian. A lot of Italians in wrestling. What is it, Bruno Sammartino or something? Anyway, Zack Sabre Jr. is not Italian. He's British. And, you know, ZSJ. Lucas Eatwell is actually his real name. Lucas Eatwell. E-A-T-W-E-L-L. He eats well. I think he's a vegan, Zack Sabre Jr. Speaking of eat well. Anyways, he's a great wrestler. He's one of the best technical wrestlers in the world. He's one of my favorites. I'm a huge fan of ZSJ. I hope we see him against Cesaro. I think Cesaro probably beats ZSJ if they do that match.
I would hope. It's his debut, right?
Yeah, but it's Zack Sabre Jr., one half of the Dangerous Techers. This guy's amazing.
Yeah, but he's probably going to lose to Danielson, right? So he was scheduled for a loss anyways. Right?
He probably
or
was
you
scheduled.
Agree with that?
I don't know. Probably, but I could see Danielson losing to ZSJ too. I think Zack Sabre Jr. probably loses this match, but I wouldn't be mad if he won. I wouldn't be mad to see Zack Sabre Jr. win every single one of his matches forever because he's that good. Have you seen him wrestle? You've seen him wrestle before, right?
Once or twice. I feel like he was really small when I saw him, though.
He's skinny, but goddamn is he good. Like, he's just so technically sound, and he's just a grappling wizard. He's tremendous, man. Such a good wrestler. Him and Cesaro would be a dream match, so I hope it's that. Johnny Gargano just wouldn't do it for me, so I hope it's Cesaro. Imagine if it's like Bray Wyatt or something. That'd be horrible. It won't be.
It wouldn't fit because, like, didn't Danielson say, like, it was, like, a great technical wrestler? Like,
yeah. So it's either Gargano or Cesaro, right? Or, like, Bret Hart.
Well, to me, it has to be Cesaro, I think, from that list. I mean, Gargano's okay. I don't know if he was considered one of the greatest technical wrestlers, but...
I mean, they called him Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
People seem to think he was a great technician. He's no Jonathan Gresham.
He's good, but yeah, that's it. I mean, in terms of technical wrestlers, who would you put higher? Cesaro, like Jonathan Gresham? I think yes. Like, he's just, you know, he's okay, but he's just low compared to everyone else.
If you could find Jonathan Gresham versus Zack Sabre Jr., I think it was from the New Japan Cup a couple of years ago. Whew. Unbelievable. You want to see some technical wrestling on display? Watch Zack Sabre Jr. wrestle Jonathan Gresham. Or Zack Sabre Jr. against Sonata. My God, have they had some great matches. Zack Sabre Jr. is so good. Zack Sabre Jr. and Will Ospreay have had some tremendous matches too. Different style, but, you know, every match that I see Zack Sabre in, I love. He's such a fun wrestler to watch. He is my style of wrestler. Let me tell you. Tremendous. Very happy to see him on this card. Disappointed we don't get to see Tetsuya Naito on this card. But we're pretty much getting everybody else from New Japan. So, not bad. Not bad. And we will recap it on Sunday night. Yeah?
Angry Dave mode will be activated.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. Let's talk about Christian here. What a promo from Christian talking about Jungle Boy on Dynamite this week. Talking about the losers on social media who know nothing about this business and he doesn't care about their opinions. Talking about Jungle Boy, how he had eliminated him from the Casino Battle Royal last year and he didn't forget about that, but he hitched his wagon to Jungle Boy to make easy money, walk to the ring, make some money as the manager, get him to the tag team titles, and then of course he doesn't walk him to the ring and they lose the tag team titles, and he knows it's because Jungle Boy doesn't have that killer instinct and Christian was the only reason why he won matches. Christian then seemingly takes a shot at MJF. He says, oh, there's a lot of people in the back that are talking about earning a bigger paycheck. Well, if you want to earn my paycheck, then have a match that people talk about more than a week after it happens. Try having a type of match that you name pay-per-views after. Until that, enjoy eating my crumbs. Wow. That was a hell of a line from Christian. I mean, true, but, you know, it seemed like a shot at MJF. Which is odd. Like, what's going on with MJF? Where is he at? It's weird. You know, Christian taking a shot at him here in this heel promo. It seemed like a direct shot at MJF, who's another heel, who hasn't been on TV since he cut that crazy promo. Christian's like, yeah, have some matches. Until then, enjoy eating my crumbs, you losers. You know, like, okay. That's clearly directed at MJF, but for him to drop that is kind of weird. But if you think about it, like MJF was saying, you know, Tony Khan's wasting all this money on WWE rejects and talking about guys that, you know, go through tables and kill themselves and he doesn't need to do all that because he gets a reaction without doing all that stuff. I mean, Christian has been there, done that, gone through the tables, ex-WWE guy in AEW, probably making a bigger paycheck than MJF. Like, Christian hears MJF's promo. He's got to take offense one way or another. And he took a shot back at MJF this week, which was odd. Which makes MJF's thing feel all the more real. Because Christian, in storyline, has no reason to take a shot at MJF. But Jey Uso, the real man, has every reason to take a shot at Max Friedman, who maybe pissed him off a few weeks ago. Bizarre. What did you make of that, John? What's happening with MJF? Why did Christian say that stuff? He didn't say MJF, but might as well have.
Well, I think part of it is to keep it relevant. You know, like, they're not going to have MJF on TV for a while. So just to keep it kind of fresh in people's minds a little bit. Also, it's to help sell this whole heel turn. Like, he knows that some people feel this way, where it's like this whole, like, oh, these WWE guys come in there and just take a paycheck. I mean, I felt a lot of this promo was like shots against you because you've been critical of like guys like Christian in the past. I felt like he was talking a lot to Dave Simon on this one. So that's what this promo felt like.
I'm always pro-Christian. Yeah, well,
but you've been critical about WWE guys coming in and taking a spot, you know, just coasting, whatever. Like he said. Like you've had a couple of shots. Not Christian exactly, but you said like these WWE people come in and they just take a spot and you know they just take the easy money.
Well,
and I know.
I mean, some of them have.
Some have.
What's
yeah.
Malakai Black really brought to the table? Although I enjoyed his match with Pentagon this week, I thought it was quite good. But I feel like he's been feuding with Pentagon for 6 months now, and it hasn't gone anywhere. And the promos and the story and the gimmick is kind of mid. You know? Miro disappears for whatever he's got going on. Keith Lee comes in. It's like, yeah, all right. And there's a lot of people from WWE that come in, like Ruby Riott. Did she make an impact? How much money is she making? Ember Moon? Like, well, what? You know? A lot of people come in from WWE and you're like, yeah, all right, fine. But not Christian. Like, Christian is a Hall of Fame talent. I was a little bit disappointed they didn't do more with Christian. And now it seems like they finally will. Christian says, Jungle Boy's mom was all mad at me last week. Maybe she wants a piece of me. Maybe she wants me to be Jungle Boy's daddy. Jungle Boy needs a father. But he doesn't have one because his father's dead. And it's a good thing that his father's dead because he'd be ashamed and embarrassed at what his son has become.
Wow.
Oh, God. So good. They show the clip last week, Christian yelling at Jungle Boy's mom and sister. Your son's a piece of shit. You raised a piece of shit.
They bleep that stuff, but the fingers, they don't censor the fingers or anything. It's okay to flip somebody off, but well, you can't swear on TV.
They do swear on TV. Tony, cut the shit. They swear all the time. And this continued, Christian goes on, and then Luchasaurus comes out and grabs Christian, goozles him, grabs him by the throat, pushes him in the corner. Christian's like, oh, he begs off like a good heel, oh, I wanted to talk to you. You're like a son to me. That was great. Remember what happened to Marco? It's like, oh, shit. That was a good line. Remember what happened to Marco? Luchasaurus is grabbing him. He's like, remember what happened to Marco? Remember Marco was your buddy? He's gone now. You know why? Because Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy took his spot. And you're going to be replaced too. He didn't have to say it, but you knew what he was saying. He's like, hey, Luchasaurus, there's still a spot in this company if you're my backup. If you're Jungle Boy's backup, you're going to get disappeared. You won't have a job anymore, so stick with me, kid. He's like, I want to talk to you, but not in front of these losers. Let's go, let's talk. And Luchasaurus eventually relents, lets go of Christian, and they leave together. And, what's next, right? Luchasaurus will join up with Christian and turn on Jungle Boy, which is great. And the way that they played that out was great. This was one of the best heel turns that AEW has ever done. And it's mostly because of the masterful in-ring promo work from Christian, a guy who's been in the business for like 30 years, who has been there and done that, and who's so relaxed in the ring because he is a promo master and he can hold the crown in the palm of his hand and he makes it look easy. This was high level, 10th degree black belt level professional wrestling promo from Christian on Wednesday night. Super high level stuff. Very few people in the company, if anyone really in the company. I mean, maybe Jericho. But there are very few guys in the, CM Punk. I'd say Bryan Danielson, but, very few guys in AEW can go out there in the middle of the ring, on a microphone, and deliver a masterful promo like that. MJF can do it, which is kind of crazy, because he doesn't have the experience Christian does, but somehow he's got the ability. But Christian just, beautiful stuff. He's so good. He's so good. And once in a while, you kind of forget because he's just in the background with Jungle Boy. And then all of a sudden, he's back, he's cutting a promo, and you're like, oh, yeah, he's the best, eh? Christian's so good. It's great to see him get that spotlight again in a real program.
I really think it just goes to show you that Christian, he can be a face, but being a heel, that's what his true magic is at right there. And, to me, that segment was easily the best thing I saw this week. In all of wrestling, it may have been like the best promo since that MJF promo, I think. So, that was just fantastic stuff. Like, you just hope from there it just grows and grows, because, like, this could be great for Christian, a rebirth for him almost in a sense.
I wonder how Jungle Boy responds, though, because I don't know if he's got the ability to fire back.
Nope.
You know, like, he's going to have to talk back to Christian, and how's he going to do that?
I think, you know, his actions need to be his words, because, like, yeah, he can't really talk too much. So, and it's better he doesn't talk, because it's actually going to hurt him more, I think. So it's better he just, you know, reacts to Christian, just tries to get him, and then we'll see what happens with Luchasaurus. That's the wild card right now, right? Is he going to side with Christian? Probably, but is he going to continue to side with Christian? Wait and see how that develops.
You don't think so?
Like, you know, he's probably going to twist his mind a little bit, like, oh, you got to help me, but he's going to be conflicted, though, because Jungle Boy is his boy, so.
Yeah, I think he'll turn on him. I think he'll turn on him pretty quick.
We'll wait and see.
I think he's already done it.
Because we got blood and guts, so you know, it's probably not going to happen next week. It'll probably be the week after, if he comes back.
Possibly. But I think it's done. I think Luchasaurus is turning heel there. That's what it looked like to me, but, you know. Because if he didn't, I think he just would have attacked Christian, you know? He wouldn't have listened to the words. He would have just been like, nah, screw you. You attacked Jungle Boy. I'm going to get revenge right now. For the beating Christian gave Jungle Boy last week, like, you would think Luchasaurus would really attack him, but Christian clearly has his ear. So I think that's what's going on there, but you know, whatever. I think Luchasaurus needs it too, because if he's just Jungle Boy's number two here in this feud, like, it's no good. It doesn't help, you know. And Christian too, as the heel, like, he needs the backup. You know, it makes Jungle Boy more sympathetic if everybody's turned their back on him.
Yeah, no, for sure, it's probably going that direction. But for it to happen quick, like, there's probably going to be another segment, I feel, where you're going to see maybe a transformation of Luchasaurus or something, or you're going to see, like, there's going to be a moment where it's like he's going to have to decide, and then he'll turn heel. But there's still going to be something, I think.
Over in WWE world, John, I'd say the bigger news of the week is Rhea Ripley's injury, some sort of brain injury, she's saying. I think it was a concussion. Not sure, but she's hurt. She will not be wrestling Bianca Belair at Money in the Bank. Bianca Belair cut an in-ring promo on Raw this week announcing that. Then all the participants showed up in the 1-2-3-4-5-way, all talking about each other. Carmella. Whoa. What? You got something about that promo, John? It's pretty weak.
Well, just Raw. Man, I have to give you a lot of credit, because you did this for like a year of like a Raw review show.
Yeah.
How you did that like right after Raw was over, it's like, my God, just like a huge clap for you, man, because like to do that is incredible. Like, it's hard for me to like rewatch Raw after it's already aired a couple of days later. It's like it takes me days to get through Raw. It's so hard. Like, the fact you did that like every Monday is incredible.
It's not a very good show, is it?
Like, it can be. It's just when it's too long, it's like, oh, please, just it's already been, it's good. You peaked. It's over. Like, that last hour is always the worst. But then when it's not a good show, then it's really bad. And that's what happened this week. It was just awful, unfortunately. Someone said SmackDown sucked this week. I mean, man, SmackDown is so much better than Raw. It's unbelievable. I wish it was just SmackDown every week.
I think we had better matches on Raw, though.
We did, but I feel SmackDown is just, it flows so much better. And the main event was all right on SmackDown tonight.
That's short. SmackDown's shorter. The main event was not great. I didn't love the main event. I thought that Raw had better matches this week. Like, Raw had Bobby Lashley against Chad Gable, which I thought was pretty good. And
it was
AJ Styles. Yeah, but the opener was just Bobby and Gable, which was pretty good.
It was all right, but that, you're getting short because then he had to wrestle Otis, and then he had to wrestle Theory.
And he beat them all.
Yeah.
He beats Gable, he beats Otis, and then he beats Theory, pins him, even though he just wrestled two guys, and then he's going to wrestle Theory for the belt on the pay-per-view, the U.S. title. He's like, yeah, I'll beat him here on Raw. He's definitely not going to beat him for the title, because that would be weird.
It's a tough spot, because they build Lashley so strong, like you feel like he's going to win. But Theory, they keep pushing him. It's tough. But that whole, he did another pose down thing again, like, that was another crummy segment. Then that led to that gauntlet match.
Ugh.
So much stuff where it's just like, this doesn't need to happen, but they have 3 hours, so it has to happen. It's really tough. That five-way, too, like, man, it was tough to get through that. Like, it wasn't as bad as the four-way, but just a lot of unnecessary stuff happened that match. Like, how you can have a five-way and people just disappear for, like, 2-3 minutes after they've taken absolutely nothing in the match, it just, a lot of it doesn't make sense.
Carmella wound up winning that too, which didn't make a lot of sense. Carmella wins a match that had Becky Lynch, Asuka, Alexa Bliss, and Liv Morgan in it. But Becky Lynch and Asuka were in this match, and Carmella wound up winning somehow after a super kick on Liv Morgan. She got the pin. And now it'll be Carmella replacing the injured Rhea Ripley at Money in the Bank against Bianca Belair for the Raw title.
Right.
Terrible replacement.
Makes sense, though.
Yeah, but Rhea Ripley versus Bianca would have been cool. This is not that interesting.
No, but, like, they obviously weren't planning on doing this, but they had plans, I think, for Becky and pretty much everyone else is going to be in Money in the Bank, right? So that's why they weren't going to get them the title shot as well. Like, Becky said she was going to do both kind of thing. Like, that wasn't going to happen. And Becky didn't qualify yet, but she's more than likely going to get that last spot, I think.
Well, Becky got another match. She opened the show in the five-way and then main evented Raw against Asuka. Asuka beats Becky with a head kick and pins her to qualify for Money in the Bank. Becky was real mad after the match. Looked like she was crying, all pissed off. And Asuka qualifies for the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Shotzi tonight defeats Tamina to qualify for the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match tonight on SmackDown. So it'll be Shotzi, Asuka, Raquel Rodriguez, Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, Lacey Evans, and one more person. And it would make sense for it to be Becky Lynch. I guess we won't see Charlotte until after Money in the Bank.
Maybe after SummerSlam. Who knows?
Hmm. I guess Becky makes sense as the final Money in the Bank participant.
I mean,
is there
who's
anybody?
Left?
I don't know. Well, that's it. Is there anybody else they could throw in there?
I mean, they could always throw in someone like Doudrop or something, but it's like that doesn't really make the match much better, right?
No.
Exactly. Becky's whole story has been about Money in the Bank, right? So
yeah,
they're more like going to do a whole like either gauntlet or six way whatever garbage match where Becky's probably going to win that match.
Yeah. Last chance battle royal. Whatever.
Oh, well, yeah, just another terrible match, but yeah, sure.
So that's the Money in the Bank ladder match for the women's side. That's how that got settled. A lot of new participants there. Asuka and Shotzi getting their spots there. Omos got a spot for the men's Money in the Bank ladder match on Raw, beating Riddle. Riddle cut a promo, talked about winning Money in the Bank, doing it for Randy, all this stuff. And then Omos beat him. And then Seth Rollins comes out, cuts a promo, and then when he's done talking, Riddle comes back in the ring and takes a stomp from Seth Rollins, and that's it. Is Riddle getting buried or something? What's happening? Was that weird, or am I, like, he cuts this promo about winning Money in the Bank for Randy, doing it for Randy, winning the belt, getting revenge on Roman, and you're like, okay, And then here comes Omos, and you're like, oh, well, this is tough, but Riddle seems like he's got a plan, and they seem to have a direction for him. And then he just loses to Omos, and he gets stomped in the head from Seth for no reason in particular. What do you think?
Well, I think they're building with him having a match with Seth Franklin, I think probably at SummerSlam. I could easily see that happen, go down. And I feel like he shouldn't have been in this match whatsoever because he lost to Roman, so he should never get a title shot ever again against Roman. So that should have disqualified him from Money in the Bank completely, I think. I mean, if they took away Drew and Sheamus' spot, they should have taken away Riddle's spot. So I think this is just a good way of like not putting him in the match and causing that problem, I think.
They gave Drew and Sheamus their spots back, though.
They had to win them finally, yeah, which was fine.
Come on.
My whole thing was they never won them before.
Yeah. Vince McMahon was on Raw this week just to tell us that John Cena is going to be on Raw on Monday. And then he jumped on the stairs. Jumped off the stairs on his way out, and people were real excited by that. Vince is just showing us, you know. See it. Hey, look at me. I was on SmackDown. I'm on Raw. You think I'm gone from the company? I'm not. Here I am. Look at me. I'm Vince. He's just showing power. Wasn't on SmackDown tonight. I kind of expected him to be on SmackDown tonight. Hey, I'm Vince. Tonight only 25% off t-shirts on WWEshop.com. You know, like.
That would have been great.
Hey, it's me, Vince. Don't forget to watch AEW Forbidden Door on Sunday. You know, like, it's a ridiculous thing. But no, we didn't get that. No Vince tonight on SmackDown, but Vince on Raw.
Yeah. Well, also on Raw. I think the jump.
Yeah.
Just going back to the jump off the stairs, like, that wasn't supposed to happen, though. Like, I don't know if you noticed, like, Vince, like, kind of tripped a bit, and he looked kind of pissed. And, like, I think he was just, like, all angry. So, he, like, he just jumped off the stairs. And they cut away because I think they thought Vince was going to, like, face plant, I think. Because they weren't sure. Like, I don't know if you see the way Vince walks sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Vince looks like it's hard for him to lift his arms up sometimes. So.
Yeah. Looks unsteady.
Well, again, like, you know, mid to late 70s, it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I'm not mad at him. I'm just saying. I was worried for him jumping off those stairs, too. But he's all right. He's fine. Ezekiel and Elias backstage talking to each other. Elias clearly had a fake beard on, and they were doing, like, the whole Three Faces of Foley thing with, some trickery.
Yep.
Kevin Owens knew what was going on. Elias is in the ring cutting a promo, doing his thing. Kevin Owens comes out. He says, nobody wants this concert. Elias is a liar. It was movie magic, what you did backstage there. And then Ezekiel shows up on the Tron while Elias is in the ring. And he's like, hey, that's really Elias. Kevin, you need to stop this. And then he disappears from the Tron. And Kevin Owens is like confused. He's like, what's going on here? How are you on the Tron if you're in the ring? This whole thing could have been settled if Kevin Owens could get in the ring, grab Elias, and rip the fake beard off his face, but couldn't do that because Elias started singing a song, and then Kevin Owens takes Elias's guitar, but Elias hit a flying knee on Kevin Owens and kind of broke a guitar over his back, and then Kevin Owens went backstage. It wasn't his head. It was his back.
Oh, it looked like the back of his head.
Not to me. It looked pretty soft to me.
Well, the guitar like broke like nothing. Like it broke immediately. It seemed like it was back of the head though.
Whatever. You can hit me all day with a balsa wood guitar. It's not gonna hurt. Kevin Owens angry backstage. Ezekiel shows up. He's somehow changed out of his Elias outfit, and Kevin Owens wants a match with Ezekiel or Elias or whoever next week on Raw. Probably Ezekiel.
He said Elroy, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, whatever. This whole thing is stupid. And why is Kevin Owens going so crazy about it? Like, was he tortured by a set of twins as a child and now he's, like, reliving the experience? Like, what's going on? Was he tricked by twins in his life earlier and now he's, like, traumatized? Why is he going so crazy about this? Why is he the only wrestler on the roster who seems to care about this whole Ezekiel thing? No one else cares.
Like, you could tell, though, in that whole backstage thing, like, Zola, Kevin's realizing, like, he's going kind of crazy. Though he's not going crazy, but he's coming to that self-realization that he feels like maybe he is getting crazy. I think that's what we're building towards, that he's just going to have a full breakdown, I think. That's what's going to happen with him.
Right.
And, like, it's silly, but for some reason he makes it work. Like, it's funny to watch. And, like, you're a liar, like, that should be a t-shirt. That's a good catchphrase.
You're a liar is a good catchphrase.
The way he says it, like, it works. The way he sells it, he's got great delivery.
It's over the top though when he's like frustrated and going crazy, like, it's a little much for me, you know. And I know he's directed to do that and act that way, but it's just, and when the story is so dumb, it's just, you feel dumber watching this stuff. Like, there's no suspense. It's just like, yeah, all right. Are we done with this yet? I just want it to be over. You know, I'm not, like, invested in any of this. I'm just like, yeah, Ezekiel, Elias, whatever. Fake beard. Okay.
I appreciate the effort they put into that. To do all that trickery. I mean, that's not easy to do that stuff. They actually put effort into it.
It's not that hard. I don't know what the hell. Ignore AJ.
I have no idea what he's ignore him. Talking about.
He's ridiculous. Okay. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about either. AJ Styles wrestled Ciampa this week on Raw. Ciampa's like Miz's bodyguard or something.
AJ, that was a good match. That was my favorite match in Raw.
It was good. Yeah, me too. AJ beat Ciampa, hit him with a phenomenal forearm, pinned him. Then Miz tried to attack but got hit with a Styles Clash. I guess Miz and AJ Styles are feuding now.
Oh, that Miz TV was so awful. I don't know if you watched that. That was bad. Thank God that match, but that promo, AJ, why? I'm not talking to AJ watching right now. AJ Styles, like, so bad. You want to talk about, like, bad segments? That was terrible. That's where it's like Raw off. I'll come back to this tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I don't want to watch it after this.
Well, as soon as Miz TV happens, I kind of want to stop watching wrestling forever.
The whole thing, like, the thing about Miz and his balls, like, it's just really bad.
Oh,
they drag
that
out.
Popcorn
way
balls.
Too much.
It says Miz has popcorn balls, and the crowd started chanting popcorn balls, and Miz was like, I have huge balls, and he started talking about his balls, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
And it just kept going on, too.
I know. Like, I know.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Too much of a bad thing.
It was very bad. I like Natty and Ronda's promo tonight on SmackDown. I thought that was pretty good. Ronda went pretty stiff on Natty. My God.
Yeah, but it was one-sided, yeah. Like, Ronda did. Natty was, like, nothing. Softballs, like.
Natty came out dressed as Ronda. She's like, oh, I'm the baddest woman on the planet. I tell everybody that. And Ronda is going to retire after she loses the belt to me. I'm Natty or whatever. And then Ronda comes out and she's like, oh, Natty, is that you? Because Natty was dressed as Ronda. And Ronda's like, I didn't recognize you without your rack out. And I was like, oh, my God. Ronda, take it easy.
PG, yeah.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, you know, Natty, you and I, we're nothing alike. You think we are, but we're not, you know. Because I would never mutilate my body by chasing unattainable beauty standards like you. And I was like, oh, my
Jeez.
God. My God. And when she said that, I was like, God damn, man. Because Natty's clearly got some work done. You know what I mean? It was rough. And then Rhonda's like, yeah, Natty, you know. You have a lack of charisma and no natural talent. And despite your pedigree, the closest thing you ever get to the main event in this company is dressing like me. And then Ronda then beat up Natty, and that was the end of the segment. I felt bad for Natty here. Like, obviously, Natty wants her to go there, and they've been going back and forth on Twitter, and it's been pretty good, but this is a lot. This was a lot for Ronda to say to Natty. I'm sure Natty is like, you know, the hearts are like, yeah, you know, say this about me. But then afterwards, they might be like, hey, that was a little too stiff. You know what I mean? Like, man, stiff. Stiff shots from Ronda in that promo. And they're friends, right? What does Ronda say to the people she doesn't like? My God. That was a lot.
But it was good. It was good. It was very one-sided. Like I said, like, Natty didn't really say much besides, yeah, oh, stroller thing. And, like, her, like, she didn't even try to act like Ronda. She dressed like Ronda, but didn't try to sound like Ronda whatsoever. Like, it's like, you didn't put a lot of effort into this whatsoever. You got killed. And that's probably what's going to happen in the match, too, at the pay-per-view. Or premium live event, sorry.
Yeah. The Twitter feud has been pretty good, too.
The Twitter feud's actually a little bit more, like, back and forth, at least.
Yeah. And if people haven't seen that, I mean, they're trying. I don't believe it, though. That's the problem. Like, I don't believe they really hate each other. I think that they're just going hard on each other because they're trying to sell the match, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
But it's good stuff. Like, Ronda's promo tonight was good. Here's Ronda at the same time promoting Natty, which is, you know, it seems like a mean thing, but she's promoting her, too. She says, some needs, I think she meant someone, but you know Ronda, she's not the best at writing. Some needs to tell you your discount OnlyFans sister fetish YouTube channel is weird and embarrassing, comma, at Nat by Nature.
That's an embarrassing tweet, to be honest.
Yeah, like, can she speak English? What's going on with Ronda? She's not dumb, is she? What's going on here? Maybe she is. Maybe she is dumb. I don't know. Some needs to tell you your discount OnlyFans sister fetish YouTube channel is weird and embarrassing, comma, at Nat by Nature. And I don't know if you've seen Natty's Natty and her sister's YouTube channel, but it's odd. I've seen like
bits
and pieces.
I've heard people being disgusted by it.
Yeah, it's a little weird. A lot of boobs there. A lot of boobs going on. Is her channel about their boobs or something? I don't know what's happening there. But the sister fetish YouTube channel is weird and embarrassing. I mean, she's not wrong when she says that. But then Natty fires back. This was the best. Natty got the best line here on Twitter. You can't beat this. It was either do a channel with my hot sister or bring people to a rock at the back of my farm to cry and talk about conspiracy theories, which is what Ronda does. I chose the sexy sister thing because we might be weird, but we're not as weird as your hot takes on life. True.
See, she had none of this on SmackDown.
Your hot takes on life. It's true. Ronda's got some weird-ass conspiracy theories. And, yeah, I think she's a little off about a lot of stuff. A little off. But this was like a death blow from Natty. Just destruction. And then here's Ronda hitting back. We both know your face is too paralyzed by Botox to cry at this point.
All right. Well, I guess that kind of she expanded on that, I guess, on SmackDown tonight.
Yeah. And then here's Natty.
Oh, Ronda again. Jeez.
No, this is Natty. She wrote, okay. I get jabbed because I choose to. She's talking about getting facial things. This is Natty making her lips and boobs look even bigger in this picture to accentuate the plastic surgery. I'm not sure why Natty decided to do this to her own picture. Made herself look weirder. I don't know why.
I thought Ronda did this.
No, this is Natty who did this. Natty goes, wow. I get jabbed because I choose to. You get jabbed because you can't keep your hands up. Ah! Oh, God. Natty's like, I'll take Botox to my face. I choose to do that. You get jabbed in your face because you suck at boxing. Did you hear that Ronda was in Albuquerque doing a house show and the fans were chanting Holly Holm at her because Holly's from Albuquerque and trains there?
I heard something about that, yeah.
Oh, my God, those fans are vicious. That's mean. But, yeah, this Natty and Ronda stuff is pretty good. It's getting pretty mean.
Well, yeah, well, on Twitter it's back and forth, but SmackDown's very one-sided, so.
Yeah. It was all Ronda tonight on SmackDown. But, hey.
They protect Ronda on
television.
That
was the best thing on SmackDown, though, right?
Again, I like the main event. I thought the main event was solid. You know, Sheamus and Drew, that's good stuff.
Ronda's promo was more impactful than anything that happened in the main event. I thought that main event was stupid. It was obvious what was going to happen. It was a big, stupid nothing of SmackDown. I hate that shit. I cannot tell you how much I hate when they start the show and they're like, hey, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus are in Money in the Bank. And then they're like, well, actually, right, so Sheamus and Drew are there, and they're talking. And then Paul Heyman comes out, and he's like, you guys aren't going to cash in on Roman Reigns, because Roman's going to defend his title against Brock at SummerSlam, and Heyman's worried that one of those two guys is going to cash in, so he's here to make sure they don't cash in, because here's Adam Pearce, and he's going to tell them that, you know, Drew and Sheamus, I was hasty to put you in Money in the Bank because it was a double disqualification or whatever. So neither of you are in the match. Unless you can beat the Usos tonight, then you'll both be in the Money in the Bank match, which Heyman is, like, so delighted about. But, like, well, obviously you're putting your guys in danger here, the Usos. And secondly, like, the Usos are clearly going to lose. I hate when they do this stuff. You start the show. When SmackDown started, Sheamus and Drew were in Money in the Bank. When SmackDown ended, they were still in Money in the Bank. Nothing changed.
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
Nothing changed.
One way was that they weren't actually in it.
Oh, bullshit.
They never won that right.
They were in it. They were on the graphic. They were on the graphic. Nothing changed by the end of the show. When they said, okay, you're in it. Well, now you're not in it. But you'll be back in it if you beat the Usos tonight. Well, what happens if the Usos beat you? What do the Usos get? Jack shit. Because it's a stupid match. It's lazy booking. This is what they did. They said, oh, we got SmackDown tonight. Oh, what are we going to do? Well, we have Roman. No. We got the Usos. All right, let's put them in the main event against Drew and Sheamus. Why? I don't know. Let's just do it. Well, maybe how about Drew and Sheamus didn't actually win their qualifiers, so how about we take them out of the Money in the Bank, and if they beat the Usos, they're back in Money in the Bank. Yeah, that sounds good. Let's do that. And that's how they plan SmackDown tonight. It's garbage. Absolute garbage. Lazy. Lazy TV. It's pathetic. You start the show, and you end the show, and nothing's changed. Before the show started, Drew and Sheamus are in Money in the Bank. Show's over, they're still in Money in the Bank. Oh, they went up and down, and in the end, they had a match, but who cares? The match meant nothing. If you didn't watch SmackDown tonight, you didn't miss anything. Are Drew and Sheamus still in Money in the Bank? Yes. Were they out? Only for about an hour and a half. Stupid. And the match was nothing special. I don't know what you're excited about. Garbage.
I find Sheamus and Drew, like, they bring the physicality. Like, especially Sheamus recently. I don't know if you've noticed, like, Sheamus, like, he's having some really good matches as of late. Like, I'm actually really looking forward to that match. More than likely, we're going to get Drew against Sheamus at SummerSlam. I think that's a good idea. Those are good matches.
Unnecessary. Drew and Sheamus again? Come on.
I number one contenders match? I definitely think that's what they should do.
Whatever. I don't care about that. I care about what I saw on SmackDown tonight, which was nothing. Sami Zayn wrestled Shinsuke Nakamura. That match was pretty good. Sami beat Shinsuke.
Okay.
After... Huh?
Finish kind of sucked. Finish kind of sucked.
What? He hit him with the kick and he pinned him. What's wrong with that?
Very lazy. Just like threw him out of the ring, you know, brought him back in, and then he kicked him. I mean, that was just a lame finish.
Sami qualifies for Money in the Bank. Sami Zayn now in the Money in the Bank ladder match, joining Seth Freakin, Sheamus, Drew, Omos, and two more dudes that we don't know about yet. Maybe AJ Styles. I think AJ probably winds up in that one.
I like Ezekiel, and I like KO, too.
Okay. Well, we'll see on Raw, right? Because Raw is going to be the last Raw before Money in the Bank, because it's next Saturday.
Well, there's nobody on SmackDown, really, when you think about it, so it has to be someone from Raw.
Yeah. No, you're right. Sami beats Shinsuke, and later on, Sami's backstage with Paul Heyman, and he says he'll never cash in his Money in the Bank on Roman Reigns, but he might cash in on Brock Lesnar. And then Heyman stares Sami down, and Sami leaves. I think Heyman was trying to tell Sami, like, don't even entertain the possibility of Brock Lesnar beating Roman. That's not going to happen. I could see Sami winning the Money in the Bank and then just giving the briefcase to Roman as an offering to the Tribal Chief. But I don't think they do that. I don't think Sami wins Money in the Bank. I could see Seth Freakin winning it.
That make Becky and Seth Franklin win, yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Couples winning these matches. That seems to be a thing this year.
I could see that going down. So Sami qualifies for Money in the Bank tonight. Elsewhere on SmackDown, Kofi and Woods were supposed to wrestle Jinder and Shanky, but they said nobody wants to see them wrestle. They just want to see Shanky dance, which made Jinder mad. Huh?
I agree. We don't need to see rematch after rematch, although yeah. They always do rematch after rematch, though.
Well, not tonight. Jinder got mad, pushed Shanky. Shanky pushed him back. Jinder left. Shanky and the New Day just dance. And then the Viking Raiders music hits, and they've got face paint now, and I think slightly new gear, more like Berserker with the fur.
Yeah.
And they attack all three guys, Shanky, Kofi, and Woods from behind, and then they beat up on the New Day guys, and the Viking Raiders stand tall. They're now back, and they're heels, and they're on SmackDown. Hey, Viking Raiders. It's me. Talent relations for WWE. We're going to bring you guys back on SmackDown as a heel team. Oh, cool, cool, cool. SmackDown heel team. Yeah, yeah. Who's the top heel team on SmackDown? Well, the Usos. And they're double champs, right? Yep, yep. They dropping the belts anytime soon? Nope, don't think so. We're going to start you off with the New Day. You work with the New Day till about SummerSlam, and then, you know, we'll see where things go. Viking Raiders, poor bastards. You know what I mean? Like, you disappear for a while. Somebody was hurt or whatever. They repackage. They bring them back. They're heels now, and they're heels on SmackDown, where there's no room to go. They could be the number two heel tag team, which they are right now already. They will never be the number one heel tag team. It's not a great spot. They might beat Kofi and Woods, but past that, they won't go anywhere.
Well, they might get them a win over the Street Profits. I mean, the way I look at it now, the tag team division, everyone's on all the shows in the tag team division, I find.
Yeah.
So, it could work for them. But just, yeah, right now, position's not great because the Usos are tag champs. Probably going to stay tag champs for a while. But, you know, they can still do things. They can help build the tag team division, give them some depth.
They can lose to some babyface teams to get them ready for the Usos. That's what they can do. No reason building them up. You build them up for what? The Viking Raiders. You know what I mean? What do you build them up for?
Well, eventually a team will beat the Usos, so you build them up for that.
Unless it's a New Day, I don't think that the team exists yet in the WWE.
You could be right.
Yeah,
they do like those makeshift teams, though. As we saw tonight, Drew had a makeshift team.
Maybe if Randy ever comes back, Randy and Riddle can do it. Apparently, Randy's having that back surgery. It's going to be out for a long time. Could be career-ending.
Well, hopefully not. But, you know, again, he's had a great career. I mean, if it ends now, it's still a Hall of Fame career.
Sonya Deville got into an argument backstage with Adam Pearce, so Adam Pearce put her in a two-on-one match.
Oh, this was stupid.
This is so dumb. Why would you put a heel in a 2-on-1 match? She lost to Lacey Evans and Raquel Rodriguez, because obviously. And then Zia Lee and Shayna were in Sonya's corner for some reason, and they jumped in after the match, but Lacey and Raquel fought them off, and there you go.
Because they lost both their qualifiers to Raquel and Lacey. So, yeah.
This was so stupid, so pointless. Filler. Why make Sonya Deville? Well, like, why couldn't you have given Sonya a tag team partner at least?
Right. Just the heat wasn't there whatsoever. It's hard for the crowd to get into something where it's like, well, these are two faces. And it's like, look, they're both bigger than that one heel. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Even with the backup on the outside that can't get in the ring, like, it didn't make a lot of sense.
It made no sense.
One of the dumbest handicap matches I've ever seen, to be honest.
Yeah. How the hell do you put Sonya Deville, who, you're right, she's smaller than Raquel, she's smaller than Lacey, she's the heel, it's 2-on-1, and Lacey and Raquel aren't, like, super over as baby faces, you know, like, they haven't been in the company for a long time, they haven't been baby faces for a long time, like, they're not that over as baby faces, so when you're watching it, you're like, well, it just seems unfair for Sonya. I feel like Sonya's more familiar to the audience than Raquel or Lacey are.
She is.
This was a really stupid move. I don't know who booked this, but this was dumb. This was really dumb. It didn't look good, and it made the whole show even worse. It somehow was worse than Shotzi and Tamina, which wasn't great. And Shotzi won to qualify for Money in the Bank.
That wasn't great, but at least it was short, though. Short and to the point. The old one thing, they kind of screwed up one thing. I think there was actually a 3 count, but it wasn't supposed to be a 3 count, I think. When she had the super kick in the air, and then she was supposed to get her foot on the rope, but she kind of didn't, whatever. And the refs counted. You heard the ref count 3. Like, McAfee even said it. Like, I'm pretty sure I heard the 3, but the foot was kind of on the rope. So the match just kind of kept going, I guess. Because that's what's supposed to happen.
McAfee cut a promo tonight on Baron Corbin, challenged him to a match at SummerSlam.
Gotta sell that stadium, man.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, that's gonna help. God. Gunther beat Ricochet with a powerbomb to retain the Intercontinental title. That's pretty solid. I like Gunther.
Squashed him, practically.
You got to figure WWE's real happy with Gunther. You know, like, you know the look that the WWE likes? You know, it's more like what he looks like now as opposed to what Walter used to look like, you know? Like Walter,
yep.
You got to figure Vince saw Walter and thought, eh, you know? But now he sees Gunther, and a lot of the guys see Gunther and what he's done and the body transformation, and you got to think, okay, well, here's a guy who didn't want to leave Europe, who was kind of chubby, who was just chubby indie guy that we signed, and now he's willing to tour the United States. He's dropped the weight. He's muscular. Like,
got a U.S. girlfriend.
Oh, does he? He's got all the things that they want their wrestlers to do, you know, like a... I think if, like, a Samoa Joe or a Kevin Owens all of a sudden got jacked and took their shirts off and it was like, oh, we're jacked guys now, you know? Like, they became body guys. I think they would get huge pushes in WWE. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the WWE really appreciates that kind of stuff. Like, Gunther getting into really good shape, I think, is going to lead to him getting a massive push in the company because they really like it when you get in better shape, especially Vince, you know? He wants guys that are in the gym working out till they puke, pal. Gunther looks like that type of guy now. He didn't look like that guy before. I think they're going to do a lot with Gunther. They're pushing him really solid. Like, for a new guy, he hasn't looked stupid yet, you know? Like, his push on SmackDown so far has been slow and steady, and it made sense. He's Intercontinental Champion. Seems like a really good role for him at this point. Seems like a steady climb for Gunther. Sky's the limit for this dude.
Yeah, I just got to hope that they keep it going and don't push him too hard. Where I find once you get to the main event scene, sometimes those guys get exposed too much. And that's a problem. Then they lose that mystique. He has that mystique right now, but when he faces those main event guys, you lose that mystique very quickly, I find sometimes.
Well, it depends how they book him when he gets there, right?
Exactly.
You know, is he going to be...
Who they book him against, too.
Yeah, but is he going to be like a main eventer, or is he going to be like a Cesaro, where he's a solid mid-carder, but when you throw him up in the main event, they just don't connect? I don't know.
He's good in his spot right now, though. As IC champion, that's good. You know, solid. No problems. However, I mean, it's not exactly like it's a stacked division right now. I mean, yeah, he should be champion for a long time because there's really no challengers for him.
Past Ricochet, I have no idea who's even out there.
Nakamura.
Yeah. You just lost to Sami Zayn tonight. You believe him beating Gunther? Right.
Oh, I don't, but that's at least somebody. Like, at least he, you know, won a Rumble, and he's done some things here or there. He's been IC champion a couple times. I mean, you don't exactly have a lot of quality talent here. He's slim pickings here.
Especially on the babyface side.
Yep. And Judgment Day just sort of disappeared, too, by the way. Like, you know, Rhea's hurt, so now no more Judgment Day. We had no more Judgment Day anymore, do we? Like, they're just gone?
They weren't on Raw. I heard they were on Main Event.
Wow.
Like, Finn and... I think Finn and Damian Priest wrestled the Mysterios on Main Event this week.
From pay-per-view or premium live events to Main Event. Yikes. That's a huge drop. They lose Edge, they lose everything.
Well, I guess Edge will be back at some point, right?
Well, he's got to wrestle Finn, I guess, SummerSlam, right? That's probably what they're going to do.
Edge, Finn, yeah, it makes sense. That should be one of the SummerSlam matches. Catching word, Gegard Mousasi lost tonight. A unanimous decision loss to Johnny Eblen at Bellator 282. Johnny Eblen, the new Bellator middleweight champion, beating Gegard tonight. Wow.
I thought you were watching PFL, actually.
PFL was on, too, tonight. Anthony Pettis lost at PFL tonight to Stevie Ray with, like, a twister. Got tapped with a twister. Neck crank deal. Spine twisting maneuver. A lot of MMA going on. I'll be watching the MMA tomorrow night with the UFC in Vegas once again. Check out our preview for the card over at ringsidereport.net or check out our channel here, the YouTube channel, the Ringside Report Network. We got the preview for the UFC card tomorrow night, Gamrot versus Sarukian. And that's about it. John, when's your next match? When can people see you?
I'm sure it'll be sometime in July. I don't have a date yet, but I'll keep you posted.
All right. Want to see the new AEW toys I got? Have I shown you these? I think I got these on Father's Day last Sunday.
I feel like you probably posted them somewhere on social media somewhere.
Yeah. Well, whatever. This is my favorite one. I got him, John. There he is.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Johnny Hungy.
You got the whole Dark Order, didn't you?
I the Meat you Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got the whole Dark Order. There's Mr. Brody.
Right.
Got to have the Mr. Brody Lee. Mr. Brody Lee. Big respect. And then, of course, I got my boys Uno. The evil Uno. Very cool action figure here, Uno. And my man, the former AEW wrestler, now independent wrestler, Stu Grayson from the Dark Order.
He's got an action figure.
Yeah, he's got an action figure. Hopefully I see him at a show near me and I can get him to sign this action figure, brother.
But he charges a lot.
And don't think I forgot, baby. Here she is. The Lady of the Dark Order, the complete set. It's Anna Jay.
She has a different head?
Yeah, they all have different heads, I think. There's two heads for Anna Jay. I guess Uno has one head. Uno's got like two extra pairs of hands. Uno comes with hands and a microphone. Mr. Brody comes with the TNT belt and the papers. You know, he hits you with the papers.
Right, that makes sense, yeah.
Give me some papers! Where's the papers?
Johnny Hungy comes with three extra hands, which is weird. Why doesn't he have an... It's not like a pair of hands. It's just three hands and an extra head. His extra head looks way more like his original head. You notice that?
Yeah. The
extra head is way more Johnny Hungy than his original head. And then three hands. Why three hands? That's weird.
Must be easy to break.
And then Grayson, same thing. Grayson comes with three hands. It's just for different poses and an extra head. Grayson also has an extra head. That looks exactly like the head that he's got. I guess one he's gritting his teeth, the other one his mouth is open. Oh, there you have it.
Poses. Poses, like you say.
Doesn't have them poses, right? All right. That's it. I'll be back Thursday? No, Sunday. Shit. Sunday.
Monday morning.
Whatever. AEW Forbidden Door coming up Sunday night. We will be recapping the action here right after the pay-per-view. Right here on the Ringside Report Network. Don't forget to support the channel. Join.ringsidereport.net. Join.ringsidereport.net. Thank you to our members. Thank you to Antoinette. Thank you to Harold Schneider. You're the Super Chat Leader of the Night. Thank you to all our friends all around the world watching us, all the members. Don't forget to join join.ringsidereport.net if you have not joined already. And, of course, Sunday night, right after AEW's Forbidden Door, I will be here recapping all the action from the AEW New Japan Super Show in Chicago, Illinois. And that's it. For John, I'm Dave. This has been Wrestling Uncensored. We'll talk to you again Sunday night after Forbidden Door.
Please join in and give your support to Ringside Report Network. We've been providing expert coverage and commentary on both pro wrestling and MMA for over 15 years.